The sun shines bright on the county stadium in Milwaukee, in the heart of America's dairyland. But there's a danger of a Yankee storm brewing, and the Braves, down 2-1 of the Yankees, are getting back near the wall. They used to say of the Braves when they represented... Today it's 9 years later, and the saying goes, it's Spahn and Burdett, and we'll beat the Yankees yet. Fans have come in early, and there's a kind of an air of expectancy as Warren Spahn, the great left-hander for Milwaukee, who has been the great left-hander for a good many years, starts to warm up, starts to loosen that left arm, upon which the hopes of the Braves will be resting this afternoon. Spahn has won 20 or more games for 8 seasons to tie Lefty Grove and Eddie Plank as the only Major League Southpaws to accomplish this feat. The only modern pitchers to win 20 games more often are Cy Young, who won 16, 10 before the turn of the century, Christy Mathewson, 13, Walter Johnson, 12, and Grover Cleveland Alexander. Warren's 41 shutouts is also an all-time senior circuit record for left-handers. He won 11 and lost 3 from August the 6th to the season's end, 9 in a row from August 6th to September the 7th. And Warren Spahn pitched in 3 games during the 1948 Braves-Indians World Series. He started the second game against Bob Lemon, was the losing pitcher in a 4-1 game. He worked 4 1/3 innings. Spahn was the winning pitcher in the 5th game after replacing starter Nelson Potter in the 4th inning. He worked 5 2/3 innings, allowed 1 hit. And the next day, he worked the last 2 innings of the game in relief for starter Bill Voisel. He allowed 3 hits, 1 run, walked none, struck out 4. Warren posted a very impressive record in the regular season of the National League 1957, winning 21 games, losing 11. And his earned run average bespeaks most eloquently of his ability, 2.69. In the World Series of 1957, the topic of which we are about to unfold, he has appeared in 1 game. That was the 1st game. He was charged with a loss. He worked 5 1/3 innings, gave up 7 hits, 1 walk, struck out none, gave up 3 runs, all 3 of them were earned, and his earned run average, 5.40. So it is Warren Spahn getting the nod today from manager Fred Haney. And the lineup for the New York Yankees, the 4th lineup to be used by Casey Stengel in the 4 games, and as it would be the case with Casey, all 4 have been completely different. Yesterday, Hank Bauer led off. Kubek played left field and batted 2nd. But today, young Tony Kubek, who hit 2 home runs in yesterday's affair, leads off and plays left field. Kubek, who will not be 21 until Columbus Day, has 5 hits and 12 times at bat in the series. He will carry with him today a very creditable 417 average, and he will be in left field. Batting 2nd and in right field is Hank Bauer. Bauer has had 3 hits and 14 times at bat. He has a 214 average. And Hank Bauer has had a base hit safely in the last 10 ball games of the World Series, the 7 from last year and a carryover into this year, and has hit safely in every World Series game that he has been in. I shouldn't say game, series that he's been in. Mickey Mantle will bat 3rd and play center field. Mickey, 4 for 10, goes into today's game with a 400 average. Yogi Berra will bat 4th and do the catching. Yogi with 2 hits and 11 times at bat. Gil McDougall will bat 5th and play shortstop. McDougall with 1 hit and 9 times at bat. And Elston Howard, who grabs the catcher's mitt, the first baseman's mitt, or the fielder's glove at the drop of a hat, will be at first base starting today. Andy Carey, with a left-hander working for Milwaukee, will bat 7th and will play 3rd base. Jerry Coleman will be at 2nd base and will bat 8th. And Tom Sturdivant, who now lives in Oklahoma City, who won 16 games while losing 6 for the Yankees, who did not have a great record of completing ball games, but had a great record for his competitive ability, who lives in Oklahoma City, goes against Warren Spahn, who makes his home now in Hartshorne, Oklahoma. So a couple of Oklahomans now, both born in April, meet here on this October 6th afternoon in Milwaukee with a temperature 56 degrees. The wind today is blowing out of left field, so it will not favor the right-hand hitters, nor will it favor the left-hand batters, although it will not deter left-hand batters trying to pull the ball down that right field line. The foul lines in County Stadium, 315 down the right field line, 320 down the left field line. In a moment, we'll give you the Milwaukee lineup. And the 1957 World Series is being brought to you from County Stadium in Milwaukee. This is Westbrook Van Voris with news from Papermate,
of a significant advance in the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it the most. You've probably had the same trouble. Chances are, you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, Papermate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Flojum that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, Papermate's new ink formula with Flojum writes all the time, every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. Get a Papermate, the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing Flojum. The Papermate Piggyback Capri is still just $1.95.
We are just minutes away now from the first pitch of the 1957 World Series fourth game. The lineup for the Milwaukee Braves finds Red Shaney, who has had four hits in 13 times at bat, who really laced the ball yesterday, leading off and playing second base. Johnny Logan, still playing despite a spike wound that he received in one of the regular season games and who was delayed coming out for batting practice today while he attended to it, will be batting second and playing shortstop. Eddie Matthews, who was a big gun for the Braves in the regular season, but whose gun has not boomed very eloquently so far, who's hitless in eight times at bat, will bat third and play third base. Hank Aaron will be in center field, batting fourth. Wes Covington will bat fifth and play left field. And the youngster, Frank Torrey, who was a great strength to the Braves in the absence of Joe Adcock, who swings from the left side of the plate, will be at first base. Hazel will be in right field. And he had no hits in four times at bat yesterday. Nell Crandall, who caught Warren Spahn in the opener, will be back of the plate. And he will bat eight. And Warren Spahn, of whom so much has been said and so much has been written, will be the starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Braves. The umpires have come out today, and they're out there. They've finished their chats with the managers, and this is the way they'll line up. Augie Donatelli of the National League will call balls and strikes. Joe Paparella of the American League will be at first base. Jock O'Conlon of the National League will be at second. Bill McKinley of the American League will be at third. Nestor Shylak of the American League will be down the left field line, and down the right field line is Frank Sicori. In yesterday's broadcast, you may have heard us refer to a double fence which occurs here in Milwaukee's County Stadium. And as we do describe, the colors are being presented out in the left field line. The first fence, which was put in here originally, is about 12 or 15 feet back of the fence which now exists. It's a shorter fence, about 6 feet in height. The fence which circles the County Stadium starts at an area back from the right field wall, about 30 or 40 feet, and it's about 10 feet high. About 12 or 15 feet back of it is a short fence about 6 feet high, and it circles around, so it sort of forms a track. The color guard has started to move out, and the fans here all standing at attention as it is a very significant sight. Drill team, a naval unit, marching out there, very sharp as they move along back of second base. And the field has been kept in magnificent condition. Grass has been cut and has a contour and a shape to it that really looks great for this fourth game of the greatest classic in baseball. The ground crew has just about finished the manicuring of the infield, which is also in excellent condition. And the band here today, as it was yesterday, is Steve Sweetie's fine musical aggregation. And they've been entertaining the fans who came on here early this morning. It's interesting to watch many of the Milwaukee fans who might be a little concerned but not downhearted. They had made up signs which said, "We're still with you, Braves. Go get them today, Spahny." And in noticing some of the fans who came early who are in the standing room area, entire families bringing blankets, making shields to protect him from the breezes that blow. And certainly they're here today to let the Braves know that they're back up 100%. So this is a big game, as is every game in the World Series. But with the Braves down two games to one of the Yankees, it adds a little more in the importance of things to come. The drill unit now has formed out in center field. Color guard has situated itself over in right center, directly in front of a temporary platform which has been put up there for the cameraman, out about 394 feet back of that double fence in between the fence of the playing field and the bullpen. Bullpen here in Milwaukee County Stadium is an area directly back of right center field, in which both teams find themselves adjacent to each other. the Braves are on the playing field side of the bullpen and the visiting team on the far side. And the big light towers, of course, back of that. So with the color guard now assembled out in right center field, we are just a few seconds away from the raising of the flag and the playing of our national anthem. The color guard now is being put to rest. Now, Marvin Moran, and we invite you to join us in our national anthem.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
You can feel the excitement mounting as Warren Spahn now comes out of the Braves' dugout, heads for the mound. And the Braves certainly are fully mindful of the problem at hand. And the Yankees, who would like to wrap it up here in Milwaukee, are certainly going to be out there today to try and add one more to their list of victories. So the expectancy of the fourth game of the World Series is ever present. It's almost electrifying on this crisp autumn air as the sun is shining brightly, blue clouds or white clouds in front of a big blue sky. And it's a perfect setting for this fall classic that goes into the book now as World Series game number four. Tony Kubek, the hometown lad who yesterday walloped two home runs, is standing down there watching, and he's about ready to move in. And ready to move in to take you over the first four and a half innings of this fourth game of the World Series, the voice of the Milwaukee Braves, Earl Gillespie.
Thank you, Bob Neal, and good afternoon, everybody. The Milwaukee Braves putting their hopes on Warren Spahn this afternoon, who lost to Whitey Ford last Wednesday at Yankee Stadium by the score of 3-1. The left-handed hitting leadoff man, the left fielder Tony Kubek in the batter's box. Tony batting at 417 so far in this World Series, and Spahn's first pitch is a ball outside. This game is underway. Ball one and no strikes. The Braves outfield has Wes Covington in left, Henry Aaron in center field, and Bob Hazel in right field. Kubek, Bauer, and Mantle, the first three men to face Warren Spahn. The curve is a call strike, and it's even up at 1-1. Augie Donatelli of the National League is calling the balls and strikes. Joe Paparella of the American League at first base. Jack O'Connell of the National League at second base. Here's the windup by Spahn. The 1-1 pitch, a bunt out in front of the plate. Crandall, Spahn has the ball, throws to first base. He is safe. He beats it out for a base hit. Tony Kubek, bunting out in front of the plate. Warren Spahn to Frank Torrey. And there is hit number one in the ball game. The Braves infield has Matthews at third base. Logan at short. Shane Deanst at second base. And Torrey at first base. Crandall catching, and Warren Spahn is on the mound. Here is the right fielder, Hank Bauer, who has hit safely in the last 10 straight World Series games. 7 last year and 3 this year. Right-handed batter hitting at 214 with 3 hits and 14 trips. A throw to first base, and back goes Tony Kubek. Stylish southpaw Warren Spahn stands 6 feet, weighs 175 pounds. The outfield about straight away. The pitch is a ball outside. It's ball one and no strikes. On deck is the center fielder, Mickey Mantle. Tony Kubek on first base, nobody out, top half of the first inning. Spahn goes into the stretch, glancing over at the runner at first base. Delivers, and a curve is a foul tip, and it's strike one. Hank Fowler held up on the swing, a foul tip, and it's ball one, and strike one. Now Bauer steps out of the batter's box, glancing down at the third base coach, Frank Crosetti. Charlie Keller coaching over at first base. Runner leads off first. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and Bauer swings high. This is strike two. Ball one and strike two. Manager Casey Stengel has six right-handed batters in this New York lineup this afternoon against the left-hander Warren Spahn, while Fred Haney has inserted six left-handed batters against the right-hander Tom Sturtevant. Ball one and strike two, the count on Hank Bauer. Throw to first base, Kubek back in time. Tony Kubek on first base with a bunt base hit. Into the stretch goes Warren Spahn. He delivers the 1-2 pitches outside, and that's ball two. The wind again today is blowing in from left field down towards home plate. The temperature is 56 degrees. Ball two, strike two count on Bauer, the right-handed batter. Spahn delivers, runner going. A swing of ground ball hits a deep short. Up is Logan. The long throw to first base going to be close. He is out. And Tony Kubek, who was on the go, is now standing on second base. Hank Fowler tossed out by shortstop Johnny Logan. And it brings up the center fielder, Mickey Mantle, who is batting .400 with four hits and 10 times at bat, including one home run and two runs batted in. Mickey found the range yesterday of that bullpen in right center field along 394 feet for his first World Series home run of the season. Spahn whirls around, but nobody covering second base. Kubek moved back in a hurry. Outfield playing deep towards left field for Mickey Mantle. Kubek, a fast runner on second base. The pitch is a fast strike. The first three games of the series have drawn a total of 180,482 fans. Of the 46,000 out here this afternoon, here is the pitch. A swing and a foul. It's off to the right. Shane Deese moving in behind the runner at second base, and it looked like Mickey Mantle trying to hit that ball in the vacant spot at second. We have action in the Milwaukee bullpen as a right-hander Ernie Johnson begins cranking up. Strike two count on Mantle. On deck, it's catcher Yogi Berra. Tony Kubek leads off second base. The pitcher on the way, a swing and a ground ball. Stand by spot. They have the runner caught between second and third. Runs him down, and the tag is made by Johnny Logan. Warren Spahn playing heads-up baseball. Stand that high ground ball off the bat of Mickey Mantle. Kubek was trapped off second base. Spahn ran directly at the runner, making Kubek make his move. He tried to get back to second base. The play went Spahn to Johnny Logan. So there is a fielder's choice, with Mantle forcing, or rather, Mantle hitting that ground ball to Spahn, and the play going 1-6. So that is two away. Mantle on first base, and here is Yogi Berra, batting at 182 in the series. A throw to first. Yogi has two hits in 11 times at bat, no extra base hits, nor runs batted in. Stands fairly deep in the batter's box, takes low inside a ball. Now in this fourth game of the 1957 World Series, Berra is actually playing in his 51st series contest. Outfield playing deep and slightly towards the right as Berra swings on a curveball, missed it completely, and it's 1-1. Ball one and strike one on Yogi. He'll be followed by the shortstop, Gil McDougald. Two men are out, first inning of play, and the Yankees have Mickey Mantle on first base. The 1-1 pitch, swung on, there's a fly ball down the left field foul line. Coming over the run is Wes Covington, running hard, he can't reach it. Foul ball, strike two. A foul that was sliced down the left field line off the bat of Yogi Berra. Covington, who so far has turned in the best clutch play of the series. In the second game at Yankee Stadium last Thursday, came racing across that foul line, but he could not reach that high foul. So there is a light for Yogi Berra. It's ball one and strike two. Two outs. Mantle on first base, and a curve is outside. Sidearm curveball evens it up at 2-2. Warren Spahn, who has a tough assignment today, trying to silence these Yankee bombers' bats. They pounded out a 12-3 victory yesterday. Fastball in close, 3-2. All three in a strike two count on Yogi Berra. Berra steps out of the batter's box. Now he sets himself in there, watching the left-hander, Warren Spahn. Spahn is almost 10 years the senior of his opponent today, Tom Sturtevant. Throw to first, and back goes Mantle. Warren at 36 years old, Sturtevant at 27. Now a quick throw, but Mickey was standing on the bag. Ball three and strike two on Yogi Berra. Two outs. Mantle will be running. There he goes. The pitch is a ball four. So there's the first walk given up by Spahn. And it puts Yankee runners on first and second base with two outs. Bringing up the shortstop, Gil McDougall, who is batting at 111 with one hit and nine times at bat. Gil has one run batted in. Rossetti yelling out to Mickey Mantle, who takes his lead off second base. Berra off first base, two outs. The pitch to McDougall, and it's a little bit too high. Ball one and no strikes. Warren Spahn looks down at Del Crandall. Yankee runners lead off first and second. Here is the pitch, and it's swung on a line drive to left field for a base hit. Here is Mantle turning at third base to score now as the plate comes into the third baseman, Eddie Matthews. Yankees lead 1-0. As Gil McDougall lines a solid base hit to left, drives in his second run of the series, and New York takes a 1-0 lead. That is hit number two off Warren Spahn, and it brings up first baseman Elston Howard. Howard, who's been up five times, has two base hits, hitting at a 400 clip. Yogi Berra stopped at second base on that base hit by Gil McDougall, who's on first now with two outs. Outfield playing a little bit around towards left field, and the pitch to Howard is a call strike. In there on the knees on the inside corner, strike one. The Yankees have hit four home runs so far in the series. The Braves have hit two. Elston Howard, strong right-handed batter, standing deep. Slightly closed stance. Spahn glancing back over the left shoulder, delivers, and a ball is outside. It's even up at 1-1. Even count on Elston Howard. Ball one and strike one. He'll be followed by third baseman Andy Carey. Yogi Berra on second base. Gil McDougall on first base. Two outs. One run is home. The pitch is swung on a ground ball to the third baseman, scooped up by Matthews. Takes Yogi Berra, and that retires the side. A fielder's choice for Elston Howard. In the first inning, one run, two hits. There were no errors. Two Yankees were left on base. The score at the end of the top half of the first inning is New York 1, Milwaukee nothing. Well, that Yogi Berra now in the dugout getting on the catching paraphernalia is working in his 51st World Series game. You know, he calls the pitches and signals for plays like the cutoff, intentional pass, and the pitch out. You know how these signs are given with Gillette's World Series special, Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball, free with a purchase of a Gillette Super Speed Razor. From an actual film of Paul Richards, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, you see the inside secrets of Major League signals demonstrated in fingertip movies. Zip the eight reels off your thumb and see how big leaguers use the flash sign, the pump, the combination, the holding sign. You see how the bunt is called, the steal or the hit and run. You learn who gives the signs, when and how, the whole revealing story. What a difference it's going to make in your enjoyment of baseball when you get Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball, attached to a Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy. Choose a razor that matches your face and you're in for fast shaves, clean, comfortable shaves that feel wonderfully refreshing. Only costs $1. And that includes razor, Gillette Blue Blade dispenser, travel case, and your free copy of Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball. In the last half of the first inning, Milwaukee sends up Red Shane Dingst, Johnny Logan, and Eddie Matthews to face the right-hander Tom Sturtevant. Shane Dingst, a switch hitter, batting left-handed, takes strike one right down in there. Yankees lead 1-0 on two hits, and they walk in the first inning. Yankee outfield has Tony Kubek in left, Mickey Mantle in center field and Hank Bauer in right field. Sturdivant delivers, and the knuckleball is outside. It's ball one and strike one. Red Shandling, so far in the series, has had four hits in 13 trips, batting at 308. Had his biggest day yesterday in the 12-3 ball game as he had three line shots to right field. Three singles. Here is the 1-1 pitch, and Red takes Hay outside. That's ball two. Manager Fred Haney, like the majority now of Major League managers operating from the dugout, has Connie Ryan coaching at third base and Johnny Riddle down at first base. Tom Sturdivant delivers, and there's a swing and a puff up down that third baseline. Going back is the third baseman. Carey makes a fine play. Andy Carey over the shoulder, catching foul territory. Good play. And he gets a well-deserved hand. Andy did not give up on that baby. A looping fly ball down the left field line in foul territory. So that's one away, and it brings up shortstop Johnny Logan, who has one of the two Milwaukee home runs, hit his at Yankee Stadium on Thursday. Right-handed batter, and he takes a strike. Logan with three hits and 10 trips, batting at 300. One home run and one RBI. One out and nobody on base, the last half of the first inning. Yankees leading 1-0 as Logan swings and pops one foul. It's out of play, behind the plate, and it's strike two. On deck is a young man that all Wisconsin is sweating out right now, the hard-hitting third baseman, Eddie Matthews, who so far in the series has gone hitless and eight times at bat. Yankee outfield playing Logan to pull around towards left field. And the strike two pitch is swung on as a ground ball to the second baseman's left over as Coleman fast throws to first base. He is out. Jerry Coleman to Elston Howard. That is two away, and it brings up third baseman Eddie Matthews. Eddie, who was born in the state of Texas, lived most of his young life, though, in Santa Barbara, California. Now resides in Brookfield, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee. Left-handed batter with two outs, nobody on base, a swing and a foul, bouncing past the Milwaukee dugout, and it's strike one. Strike one count. Mickey Mantle, arms folded across the chest, is very deep and shading Matthews around towards right center field. These ball players like to relax between pitches. A windup and the pitch on the way. It's outside the ball, so it's even up at 1-1. All one strike one count on the Braves' third baseman, Eddie Matthews, with Henry Aaron waiting in the on-deck circle. Yankees lead 1-0. Into the windup goes Tom Sturdivant. The pitch is swung on, a high foul on the first base side. A baseball souvenir for some lucky customer, and it's now a ball one and a strike two count on Matthews. Tom Sturdivant, 6'1", 182 pounds, 27-year-old right-hander, who had a very fine year for Casey Stengel, 16 wins and 60 feats. A 1-2 pitch, and it's a foul tip as Matthews tried to hold up, and it's still 1-2. Sturdivant posted a 2.54 earned run average. In World Series action, the right-hander has one victory, no defeats. He beat the Brooklyn Dodgers last year in the fourth game of the series, pitching a complete ball game. A 1-2 pitch, a swing and a ground ball to the first baseman, picked up by Howard, beats him to the bag, and that retires the side. In the last half of the first inning, three up, three down, no runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base, and at the end of the first inning, the score is New York 1, Milwaukee nothing.
This is John Cameron Swayze with news of a significant advance in the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it most. You've probably had the same trouble. Chances are you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, Papermate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Progen that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, Papermate's new ink formula with Flogen writes all the time and every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. So get smooth, dependable writing. Get a Papermate, the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing flowgen. You can still buy the new Papermate Piggyback Capri at no increase in price.
Andy Carey leads off for the New York Yankees in the second. Andy starting at third base today. Missed the second and third games. He opened up at Yankee Stadium at third. Outfield playing around the left for the right-handed batter is Bonds. First pitch is swung on. There is a high fly ball to right. Hazel started in. Now Bob is moving to his left. He makes the catch, and it's one away. Andy Carey batting at 333 with one hit and three trips. Flies out to Bob Hazel in right field on the first pitch. So that is one away, and it brings up second baseman Jerry Coleman. Jerry, with 3-for-9, is batting at 333. One double, two runs batted in. One man is out, nobody on base. Yankees lead, 1-0 in the second. Here is a strike, it's called. Moving up towards the on-deck circle is the Yankee leadoff man, left fielder Tony Kubek. Tom Sturdivant, the pitcher. We'll hit next. Spawn's pitch, swung on, a ground ball to Eddie Matthews, scoops it up. Here's his throw to first base in plenty of time, and that's two away. Jerry Coleman tossed out by Eddie Matthews, and it brings up the pitcher, Tom Sturdivant. Although he is a right-handed thrower, Sturdivant is a left-handed swinger. He had 13 base hits in 71 times at bat this season, batting at 183. No extra base hits, nor runs batted in. Two men are out. Nobody on base, and Spahn's first pitch is a call strike on the inside corner just above the belt. Tom Sturdivant, a left-handed batter, and a swing and miss, strike two. One after Spahn's curveball. Strike two count. Warren Spahn has a sign, goes to work, and a swing and a foul tip hitting off the glove of catcher Del Crandall. And there is a light for the Yankee pitcher Tom Sturdivant, the count remaining at strike two. The throw got by Warren Spahn on the return of the mound, picked up by Shandings down behind second base. Strike two count. Shandings playing deep at second base. The outfield is shallow. And a bunt straight away for Sturdivant, who swings, it's a ground ball, knocked down by Matthews, he picks it up, throws to first base, he is out, and then retires the side. Three up, three down, no runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base. We go to the last half of the second. The score at the end of one and a half innings is New York 1, Milwaukee nothing. Well, yesterday we saw Gene Conley in action for manager Fred Haney. We'll no doubt see Gene again in this 1957 World Series. You know, Gene is a Gillette fan, and that's no surprise because most men are. Here's what Gene has to say about that. It didn't take me long to learn that the only way to get a decent shave is with a Gillette blade and a Gillette razor. Yes, sir, and a decent shave means a lot of things. It's a fast shave, clean shave, a refreshing, comfortable shave that lasts for hours on end. That's what you get with a Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy, that matches your skin and beard. The light is specially designed with minimum blade edge exposure for men with lighter beards. The regular is for men with average skin and beard. The heavy, with maximum edge exposure, angle, and weight, is designed for men with heavy, dense beards, the kind that are hard to shave. Choose yours, and Gillette guarantees everything you want in a shave, the kind that makes you look your best and feel great. $1 is all it costs for Gillette Super Speed Razor, dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, travel case, and for a limited time only, you get Signals, the secret language of baseball, free. The Braves center fielder, Henry Aaron, leads off in the last half of the second. Right-handed batter facing right-hander Tom Sturdivant, and a curve strike is called outside corner knee high. Aaron has four hits, 13 times at bat, two extra base hits, a triple, and a home run, and two runs batted in. He is hitting at 308. Sturdivant delivers, and the knuckleball is low outside, and it's even up at 1-1. Ball one, strike one. Tom Sturdivant began his baseball career as an infielder, playing at second base. He has been a steady worker for Casey Stengel this year. tugs at the bill of his cap as he reaches down for that rosin sack. The count is even up on Henry Aaron at ball one and strike one. Milwaukee trails 1-0 in the last half of the second. Aaron Covington and Torrey facing right-hander Tom Sturdivant. There is a ground ball to deep short, picked up beautifully by Gil McDougall. He flips it to Kelly, but there's no chance to get the runner. And a very fine play by Gil McDougall, almost on the grass, out behind his shortstop position. A base hit for Henry Aaron. Boy, these Yankees are quick thinkers. McDougall, realizing he couldn't pivot to make them long throw the first, flipped the ball to Andy Carey. But Carey did not waste a throw that time because Henry moves very quickly down that first base line. Hit number one off Tom Sturdivant. Brings up the Braves left fielder, Wes Covington, with a tying run at first base and nobody out. He swings at the ground ball to the third baseman, picked up by Carey. Over to second base, out first base, he is safe. Lightning-like action in that Yankee infield. Andy Carey to Jerry Coleman. Henry Aaron trying his best to break up the double play. Coleman's throw is not in time as Covington, despite his 200 pounds, can really move down that first base line. So West pulls up at first base on the fielder's choice. One man is out. And the tying run is still on first base. Frank Torrey, a left-handed batter, and he takes slow inside a ball. Torrey has been up twice without a base hit. He is making his first series start. Joe Adcock, the big guy from Coushatta, Louisiana, started the first three games of the series. Covington on first base with one man out. Here's the pitch, and a strike is called. Over the heart of the plate, knee high, it's even up at ball one and strike one. Third base coach Connie Ryan going through a series of signs. Ball one and strike one. Elston Howard holding the runner on. Here is a ball high outside, and it's 2-1. Last half of the second, Yankees drew first blood on the top of the first inning. On two hits, a walk, and the big base hit was a line single left by shortstop Gil McDougall as he drove in his second run of the series. Ball two, strike one. The pitch to Torrey, a swing and miss, runner going, here is the throw, a bad throw by Yogi Berra, he is safe in second. Berra's throw was low, hitting in the dirt and to the first base side of the bag. And Gil McDougall made a very fine pickup and almost got the hard sliding Wes Covington. And that is a stolen base for Covington, putting the tying run on second base with one out. And the count is ball two, strike two on Torrey. On deck is Bob Hazel. Tom Sturdivant, into the stretch, delivers, and it's low inside, ball three. Sturdivant, with his work cut out today, must face six southpaw hitters in this Milwaukee lineup. Shandings, Matthews, Covington, Torrey, Hazel, and Warren Spahn. Full count on Frank Torrey, ball three, strike two. Runner leads off second base. The pitch swung on a ground ball to the second base, but he's waiting for it. Big hop, throws to first base. He is out, and on the play, Covington moves around to third. So the stolen base actually pays off, as that might have been a double play ball to Jerry Coleman. Now with Covington on third base, the batter is right fielder Bob Hazel, looking for his first World Series base hit. Played in his first game yesterday, going 0 for 4. A free-swinging left-handed batter. And the outfield is playing him just about straight away. So is the infield. Two men are out. Last half of the second. Yankees 1, Milwaukee nothing. Sturdivant starts the windup and delivers, and it's low inside. A breaking pitch. Ball one and no strikes. Milwaukee has that tying run only 90 feet from home plate. But sometimes, to a manager on the bench, that 90 feet looks like 290 feet. Here is the 1-0 pitch. A swing and a ground ball to the shortstop. Left up is Gil McDougall. Over to first base. He is out, and that retires the side. So in the last half of the second, no runs and one hit, no errors, and one man was left on base. At the end of the second inning, the score is New York 1, Milwaukee nothing.
Do you want... a decent shave? Do you really want a decent shave? Then shave with that, shave with that, with the blade and the razor fight. right to left, straight to left.
We now pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Save your money, save your money, save your money, save it, honey, save it for that rainy day. Open an account with any amount at Schenectady Savings Bank today.
Yes, bonus dividend days at Schenectady Savings Bank. Money deposited by October 14th earns 3.25% dividend from October 1st. WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Genuine Goodyear tires, guaranteed till they're worn out. Get Goodyear from Albert E. Oliver Incorporated in Albany, the name for your best tire deal.
Left-hander starts his lineup. The pitch to Kubek, and Tony takes a strike. A left-handed batter who had a great day yesterday with 2 home runs and a single. Outfield playing around to the right. The pitch to Kubek. Here's a swing, a ground ball to Torrey. Frank picks it up. He throws the Spahn covering, and it's just in time by a step. Frank Torrey to Warren Spahn. One away brings up right fielder Hank Fowler, who was thrown out by shortstop Johnny Logan in the first inning. The center fielder, Mickey Mantle, on deck is studying Warren Spahn. Up goes the right leg, the left arm down, the pitch swung on, a ground ball to deep third base, backhanded by Matthews. Here's a throw to first, he is out. A backhanded play by Eddie Matthews, who yesterday turned in a beauty. This ball wasn't hit too hard. Eddie has developed into one of the top defensive third basemen in the National League. He, during the 1957 campaign, made some spectacular plays at the hot corner. And boy, you don't get much time to think down there at third base. Here is Mickey Mantle, and Mickey takes the ball. It's high outside, ball one and no strikes. Nobody on base, Yankees lead, 1-0 in the third. The pitch is swung on, a ground ball, past the mound, picked up by Spahn. He throws the first, he is out, and the Yankees are 3-3. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left. The score at the end of 2.5 innings, New York 1, and Milwaukee 0. Last half of the third, the catcher Del Crandall leads off for Milwaukee. He'll be followed by Warren Spahn, and then the top of the batting order, Red Sandys. Crandall, right-handed batter, outfield playing him to the left, and Del takes low a ball. He's been up 8 times in the series, has 2 hits, batting at .250. Ball one and no strikes. Nobody on base, nobody out. Yankees lead 1-0 as Tom Sturdivant delivers. The curve is low outside. It's ball 2. Crandall has a long way home after a baseball season. He lives in Fullerton, California. Ball 2, no strikes. Yankee outfield playing him the pull around towards left field. Sturdivant's next pitch is swung on. There's a high infield fly. On the first base side, going over is Jerry Coleman in the short right field. Coleman makes the catch, and that's one out. Crandall pops out to Jerry Coleman, and it brings up the pitcher, Warren Spahn. He has always been a great favorite here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. During his 5 years in a Milwaukee Braves uniform, as the Braves switched their franchise back in 1953, he has won over 100 ball games in those 5 years. Left-handed batter who swings and foul tips this one off the shin guard of Yogi Berra. Turns right back out to Tom Sturdivant, and it's a strike one count. Spahn, when he's up there at the plate, draws the respect of every National League pitcher as he takes a very fine cut, and he has good power. Here's the 0-1 pitch. It's way outside the ball. So far in the ballgame, this Yankee outfield could sit down as none of the three has had a chance. In other words, the Braves have not hit a ball out of the infield. Ball one and strike one. Tom Sturdivant. One man is out. Spahn watching this right-hander as he starts into the windup. Here's a swing, a ground ball to the second baseman. Big hop to Jerry Coleman. Throws to first base, and there are 2 outs. Warren Spahn is tossed out by Jerry Coleman. Oddly enough, an interesting sideline. The Yankees are not staying right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin during the series at County Stadium, but they're staying at a resort, Browns Lake, and right near the town of Sturdivant, Wisconsin. third of that ready, and the pitch to St. Inks is too low a ball. St. Inks fouled out to Andy Carey, who made a very fine over-the-shoulder catch down the left field foul line in the first inning. Two outs. Pitch high, and it's ball two. Two and nothing. On deck is shortstop Johnny Logan. The Yankees scored in the first inning with Joe McDougal coming up with a big base hit, driving in the run. Ball two, no strikes on Red Shandies. The right-hander, Tom Sturdivant, pitches over the plate, a call strike, and it's two and one. Ball two, strike one. A switch hitter, Red Shandies. He swings and hits a high infield fly. Yogi Berra right on the plate now, and he makes the catch in fair territory to retire the side. So in the last half of the third, three up, three down, no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And at the end of the third inning, the score remains, the Yankees won, the Braves nothing.
The shot, he's got, he's got to listen, Mr. How are you fixed for Blaze?
Do you have plenty?
How are you fixed for Blaze?
You better check.
Please make sure you have enough, cause a worn out Blaze makes shaving mighty tough. How are you fixed for Blaze?
You better look.
The three-inning totals, the Yankees have one run, two hits, and no errors. Two men have been left on base. Milwaukee, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man has been left on base. And the Braves have yet to hit a ball out of the infield in the first three innings. In the fourth, it's going to be Yogi Berra, Joe McDougal, and Elston Howard facing left-hander Warren Spahn. Yogi Berra, squat, little left-handed batter. Hails from St. Louis, Missouri. Berra walked in the first inning, and he leads off here in the fourth. Warren Spahn's first pitch is swung on, a foul is hit off to the left. This one is going back into the crowd. So it's a strike one count on the Yankee catcher. Boy, he has had a brilliant career in the major leagues. Yogi Berra. Nobody on base and nobody out as Spahn delivers. The pitch swung on, a high fly ball, lofted in the short right field. Bob Hazel's coming in and calling for this ball. He's still coming in. He makes the catch. And that's one away. The wind is not as strong today as it was yesterday. The weatherman here in Milwaukee today says the wind out of the east is blowing at 9 miles an hour. Yesterday it was blowing at 17. One out. Gil McDougal, who lined a single to left, scoring Mickey Mantle from second base in the first inning. Right-handed batter takes in close. Ball one and no strikes. Spahn has his side from Crandall. The outfield playing to the left as McDougal looked like he was going to bunt. He took a fast strike on the outside corner, and it's even up at ball one and strike one. Eddie Matthews broke in a couple of quick steps as McDougal dropped his hands on the bat, moving him up towards that trademark. Straightaway stance, the right-handed batter, and he now takes a ball high, and he has shifted his feet in the batter's box as though to try to hit down that right field line, which is open as Hazel is playing McDougal over towards right center field. Torrey, about 15 feet off the line at first base. 2-1 pitch, in the dirt, ball three, 3-1. Ball three and strike one. One of the keen students of baseball, Warren Spahn. One man is out. And the 3-1 pitch is swung on as a ground ball to the shortstop, Johnny Logan. Nice hop. He throws to first base. McDougal's retired, and it's two away. Warren Spahn has retired the last nine consecutive Yankee hitters. Here's first baseman Elston Howard. He was safe on the fielder's choice in the first inning that retired the side. Right-handed batter with a slightly close stance, and he looks at a spike on that outside corner. Looked like one of Spahn's screwballs, which breaks away from a left half, rather from a right-handed batter. Spike one count. The pitch, and Howard swings and misses, and he swings so hard he lost his balance at strike two. Strike two count. Looked like Howard that time was aiming for Lake Michigan, which is about 10 miles from here over that left field wall. Spahn delivers, and a ground ball hit to the shortstop. Logan over, scoops it up. Here's his throw, and it's scooped up nicely by Corey to retire the side. Three up and three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left, and the score at the end of 3.5 is New York 1, Milwaukee nothing. Well, these Milwaukee Braves, especially Joe Adcock, Johnny Logan, and Hank Aaron, can't say enough for Joe Taylor, their clubhouse manager. Joe takes real good care of them, and that goes right down to seeing they have the shaving cream they like. You can bet that Joe always has a good supply of foamy on hand. He knows that the boys go for its speed and convenience and the clean, clean feeling that only a shaving cream shave can give. Foamy is fast, all right, jet fast. Press the nozzle, and there's rich stand-up lather right at your fingertips. You're shaving a breeze. Look good, feel great. And here's a big extra. Gillette Foamy contains K34, the antiseptic that destroys harmful bacteria while you shave. Give Gillette Foamy a whirl. I think you'll like it. 79 cents gets you about a 3-month supply at a nearby store. The last half of the fourth inning, and the power is coming up here to face Tom Sturdivant, Johnny Logan, Eddie Matthews, and Henry Aaron. Braves trail 1-0. Logan was thrown out by Jerry Coleman in the first inning. Right-handed batter, the outfield playing him to pull around to the left, and he looks at a strike. As Sturdivant went to that outside corner just below the belt. A very fast-moving ball game compared to yesterday's 12-3 victory for the Yankees. Tom Sturdivant delivers, and it's low and outside, gets away from the catcher, Barrett. Ball one and strike one. The boys in blue certainly have turned in some fine performances in this 1957 World Series. 3 from the National League and 3 from the American League. Ball one and strike one on Logan, who leads off in the last half of the fourth inning. Sturdivant taking his time. Leaning over. Starts the rocking motion. Delivers, and it's outside. Ball two. Ball two and strike one. Tom Sturdivant has allowed only one base hit, and that was an infield single by Henry Aaron to deep short. 2-1 pitch swung on and fouled off to the right. Going up into the upper deck, and it's now a ball two and a strike two count. Amongst his 16 victories in the American League this year, Sturdivant chalked up 2 shutouts. While amongst Warren Spahn's 21 victories, there were 4 shutouts. Ball two, strike two. Yankees 1, Milwaukee nothing in the last half of the fourth inning. Here's a ball three. The curveball breaks wide of the plate, and it's 3-2. Tom Sturdivant has a little spring going. He has retired 5 Braves hitters in order. Bonnie now has retired 10 Yankees since the single by Gil McDougall in the first inning. 3-2 pitch, swung on and fouled up to the right. And just missing the mezzanine box seats, which are on the press box and radio level here at Milwaukee County Stadium. Ball three, strike two. Nobody is out. Logan leads off. And the Braves fans out here start talking it up. Sturdivant's 3-2 pitch. Swung on, a high foul. Back towards the screen comes Yogi Berra. There's no chance. Into the crowd, and it's still 3-2 as Logan hangs tough in the batter's box. Yesterday's attendance here at County Stadium was 45,804. And I would imagine that the attendance will be about that same figure today. Ball three, strike two. The 6-foot, 1-inch right-hander, Tom Sturdivant, making his first appearance in the 57 series. Leaning over from the waist, getting a sign from Berra. 3-2 pitch, ball four. Johnny Logan draws a walk. There goes the time on the first base with nobody out. That's the first walk given up by Sturdivant. And here is third baseman Eddie Matthews, who went out to first baseman Elston Howard unassisted in the first inning. Eddie Matthews, the left-handed batter, 0 for 9 so far in the series. Still looking for that first base hit. Levels the bat across the plate, watching Sturdivant as the right-hander goes to work. Here is the pitch. A swing, a line drive, right single base hit. Hogan running second base on his way to third, and Matthews is going to the second base, and he goes in standing up. And no doubt, a lot of tension just broke off the chest of the young third baseman of the Braves, Eddie Matthews, who lined one down on that right field corner for his first base in the series. A two-base hit. Logan stops at third base. Milwaukee has the tying run on third. The lead run is on second base. Nobody is out. And the batter is Henry Aaron, who singled a deep short of the second inning. A bullet-like shot down deep to the right field corner. Played nicely off the wall by Hank Fowler. Now the Milwaukee partisan fans are really talking it up. That is the first ball to be hit to the outfield off Tom Sturdivant. Line shot to right. Logan on third base. Eddie Matthews on second base. Nobody out. The Yankees lead 1-0 last half of the fourth inning. And Sturdivant in the jam for the first time. Goes into the stretch. Delivers. And the strike is called. And a clean southpaw. Robbie Schatz begins loosening up that left arm of the bullpen in right center field for Casey Stengel. The infield is playing deep. Sturdivant checks the side, into the rocking motion. The pitch is too low, and it's even up at ball one and strike one. The first time today that Sturdivant has been in trouble. He has Logan on third base, Matthews on second base. Nobody is out. The bases are even up at two apiece. In the windup, 1-1 pitch to Henry Aaron. A swing and a drive back to left field. Right back towards the wall. It's Tony Kovac. It is a home run. Strikes on Covington, a swing, a ground ball to the second baseman's left. He's up through the first base. He is out, and that's one away. Jerry Coleman, roaming far to his left, makes the play on West Covington. That's one out, and the batter is first baseman Frank Torrey. Torrey was thrown out by Coleman in the second. One out, nobody on base. Braves 3, the Yankees 1 in the last half of the fourth inning. Sturdivant's pitch is swung out as they drive in the right field. By that towards the wall is Hank Fowler. It is a home run for Torrey. Check for the first three innings without allowing them to hit a ball over the infield, has just seen two of his pitches leave the ballpark here in the fourth inning. He is ready, pitches, and Hazel takes low inside, a knuckleball that bounced away from Yogi Berra. He puts it up at 1-1. Hazel was tossed out by shortstop Joe McDougald in the second inning. Ball one and a strike one count on the Braves right fielder. A wind-up by Sturdivant, they change up, and it's a strike call. That might have been a knuckle ball. He has two speeds on his knuckler, and that was a slow, dancing pitch on the outside corner knee-high. It's ball one and strike two. One of the really tough pitches to hit a knuckleball. Now Sturdivant's one and two pitches swung on it. That was a knuckleball. He struck him out. And that is strikeout number one for Tom Sturdivant. Milwaukee has exploded for four runs in the last half of the fourth inning and a 4-1 lead over the Yankees. Two men are out. The batter is catcher Del Crandall. Crandall popped to second base in the third. Sturdivant getting a sign from Barrett. The outfield moving around to the left now as Del takes too low a ball. Ball one and no strikes. Crandall, a right-handed batter. And the pitch to Dell is swung on, a drive knocked down by the pitcher. Throws over to first base. He is out, and that retires the side. In the fourth inning for Milwaukee. Four runs. Three hits. No error. Nobody left on base. At the end of the fourth inning, the score is Milwaukee 4, New York 1. Pause 30 seconds for station identification.
They call me Saratoga, the girl from the Vichy Spring. My Vichy is the best in taste, the mixer with that extra zing. Look for the yellow label, insist on the genuine thing. Cause only Saratoga Vichy comes from the deep fat Vichy Spring.
WGY, WGFN, Schenectady. Hi there, this is Herb Koster, inviting you to listen to my new sports show, Sports Spotlight, weekday afternoons at 5:45.
In the fifth inning for the Yankees, Andy Carey, Jerry Coleman, and possibly a pinch batter for Tom Sturdivant, although the action has stopped out of the bullpen in right center, will be the first three men to face the left-hander Warren Spahn. Carey flied out to Bob Hazel on the first pitch in the second inning. Now we're going to get some continued action now for Casey Stengel as the left-hander, Bobby Chance, goes back to work in the bullpen. Here is a strike to Carey, a strike down in there, called strike one. So Casey Stengel will go to his bench for a pinch batter, most likely for Sturdivant. Here's a swing and ground ball to the shortstop. Logan has it, his throw to first base, in time, and that's one away. And Warren Spahn has retired the last 11 consecutive New York Yankee hitters. Brings up second baseman Jerry Coleman, who was thrown out by Matthews in the second inning. Right-handed batter, smoothing out the dirt in the batter's box. The Braves 4, the Yankees 1 in the fifth. The outfield moving around to the left for Jerry Coleman. Henry Aaron received a standing ovation from the left center field bleacher fans as he moved out to his position following his three-run home run in the fourth inning. Here's a looper to short right field. It's going to drop in. Maybe Hazel running hard off his fingertips. He picks up this ball and fires it into the shortstop, Johnny Logan, covering at second base. A looping single to right field by Jerry Coleman. And there is the first Yankee to get on base since back in the first inning. Now let's see who will be called on. By Casey Stengel. Nobody has come out of that dugout as yet. Augie Donatelli, the home plate umpire, is walking slowly over towards the Yankee dugout. New York has a runner on first base with one man out of the fifth inning. And it's going to be Harry Suitcase Simpson. A left-handed batter coming up to face a southpaw, Warren Spahn. Simpson has been up five times, appearing in his third World Series game this year. He has one base hit, one RBI. He is batting at 200. So Casey Stengel right now is going against baseball percentage as he brings up the left-handed batter to face left-handed Warren Spahn. However, Case, of course, has good reason for bringing out Simpson because he is a pretty sharp hitter against the left-hander. And he might be saving some of those right-handed swingers on that bench for later in the ballgame. Now Simpson's up there with a runner on first base. One man out, and Harry takes a strike that's right down in there. Strike one. Jerry Coleman leads off first base with one out. Sidearm pitch is too low, and it's a ball. It's even up at 1-1. Harry Simpson, who hails from Dalton, Georgia, 31 years old, standing deep in the batter's box. A swing and a chop over the mound. Shortstop to second base and grabs the ball. Steps on second base. Fourth to first. A double play. Right on the side. Saves the glory as Dredd took that play alone at second base. And in the fifth inning for the Yankees, no runs and one hit, no errors, and nobody left. The score at the end of 4 1/2 innings, Milwaukee 4 and the Yankees 1. Henry Aaron, in the last 2 days, has belted Yankee pitching for home runs. He certainly is hot in this World Series right now. And Aaron, so they tell me, is a pretty slick one at picking up the signals. Imagine the boots you'd get if you could steal a sign during a ball game. Well, Gillette's World Series special, Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball, gives you the basis of all the signs used in the major leagues. You get it free with a purchase of a Gillette Super Speed Razor. Paul Richards, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, demonstrates the flash sign, the pump, the combination in fingertip movies. Zip the eight reels under your thumb and see how big leaguers call for the hit away, the suicide squeeze, a curve, or any kind of a pitch. Get Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball, free when you buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor. Light, regular, or heavy, precisely engineered to match your face for luxury shaves it can't get any other way. $1 buys everything. Razors, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser, Travel Case, plus Signals, the Secret Language of Baseball. Well, we go to the last half of the fifth inning. And it has been a pleasure so far in this World Series working with the young man out of Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. Bob Neal, who will take over for the last 4 1/2 innings. Bob?
Thank you very much, Earl, and hello, everybody. In the last half of the fifth inning now, the Milwaukee Braves will go against the little left-hander, Bobby Shands. Tom Sturman worked four innings, gave up four hits, walked one, struck out one, and is charged with four runs. Bobby Shands was the man who faced Lou Burdett in the second game, and in that game he worked three innings, gave up six hits, walked one, struck out three, and was charged with four runs. So the Braves, with a 4-1 lead, trying to get back even in the World Series of 1957. Shands, who stands all of 5'6½", and who weighs about 135 pounds when he's soaking wet, is from Antwerp, Pennsylvania. And the first man he's going to face for the Milwaukee Braves will be the pitcher Warren Spahn. Spahn, who bounced out second and first in the third inning, waits now as Shands is set to go. The Yankee outfield has Kubek in left, Mantle in center, Bauer in right, Carey at third, McDougal at short, Coleman at second, Howard at first. Yogi Berra doing the catching, and Bobby Shands ready to work. Warren Spahn, left-hand batter, is in there. Shands into the windup, and the pitch to Spahn. There's a curveball, strike one. Shands with a good curve, and, of course, with his ability to field his position, he gives the Yankees five infielders. Windup, and the pitch to Spahn. Takes a curve, strike two. Over the outside corner, started the batter, then broke over and outside on the corner. And it's two strikes. The wind blowing in from left field. Outfield for the Yankees. Pulled around the right. Two-strike pitch by the little left-hander. A swing and a miss for strike three. So Bobby Shands comes in and records a strikeout. If you remember, in the second game, Shands disposed of the Braves in order in the first inning when he got three strikeouts. But then, if you recall, things didn't stay that bright. Aaron led off with a triple, single by Adcock, and a liner started to open the door. The batter now at the top of the order, Red Shaney, batting from the right side for the first time. takes a look at a fastball inside for ball one. Score is Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 1. One out, nobody on. Outfield pulled around to the left. Carey guarding the foul line at third. The delivery comes down. It's a curve for strike. 1-1. Jans will depend on his curveball when he's in a tough situation. And from the looks of what we've seen so far in the first batter he's faced and pitching to Shandy's, it's working today. 1-1 delivery, a curveball popped out in the left field. Going back out there is Gil McDougal, still moving back, and he's got it. Out number two for the Braves in the last of fifth. Up now is Johnny Logan, who bounced out second to first in the first inning, who walked in the fourth to start the big Milwaukee four-run splurge in the fourth. When Logan walked and Matthews doubled and Aaron homered and Torrey homered. So Johnny Logan, who has three hits and 11 times at bat, is up there right-hand batter. And Chance gives him a curve. He pulls down to third baseline. Carey grabs the ball. Fair ball. Makes the throw. And it's in time for the out. So the fifth inning. The Braves go down in order against Bobby Shands. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. At the end of five, it reads Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 1. You will soon be asked to give to the United Community Campaign where you live. When you give the United Way, your once-a-year contribution covers a multitude of appeals. Your gift is divided up among many worthy causes, including child care, youth services, families in trouble, sick people, health projects, Red Cross services, care for the aged, and defense services like the USO clubs for servicemen and women. Your gift helps to prevent sickness, poverty, and delinquency, to make your community and your nation stronger. And giving the United Way saves time, saves money, helps more people, and saves more lives than any other gift. Your help is desperately needed. So please give generously and give the United Way. Curveball and misses strike one. Spahn, in the five innings he's worked, has given up three hits, has walked one, has not struck out a batter. Kubek, the left-hand batter, swings and hits a bouncer to the right side, rolling foul. And it's two strikes now. Kubek beat out a bunt in the first inning, bounced out Torrey to Spahn in the third. So Kubek now has six hits in 14 times at bat in the series. It's a rather interesting sidelight that Kubek, who hails from Milwaukee, was the big man yesterday for the Yankees. And young Frank Torrey, who hails from Brooklyn, while it is not necessarily the home of the New York Yankees, is close enough for the association that Torrey may turn out to be the big man for the Braves. Pitch by Spahn, fastball, hit down to the third baseman, Eddie Matthews, up with the ball, makes the throw, he's on at first. So Kubek, trying to slice that ball by Eddie Matthews at third base, is a quick out in the sixth inning. And Hank Bauer is up there. He's bounced out short to first and third to first. Bauer with three hits and 15 times at bat. We are playing in the top of the sixth inning. Warren Spahn, with the left arm, delivers a fastball. It's outside and low, ball one. The outfield for the Braves pulled around the left. Covington in left, Aaron in center, Hazel in right. Matthews on the edge of the grass at third. Spahn with a one-ball delivery. Kicks and delivers, and there's a swing and a sliced foul. Back upstairs, one ball, one strike. That one caught by a lady sitting up in the upper deck, just reached up. And she has herself a souvenir. One ball, one strike. Spahn ready to work. Here's the delivery to Bauer, foul back. So it's one and two. The sun is overcast at the moment by some rather large, fleecy clouds. Andy Pafko is loosening up in the Milwaukee bullpen. Warren Spahn with a double pump and the pitch to Bauer. Swings, hits a ground ball to the left side. Moving in quickly is the shortstop. Logan hurries his throw. He gets it. Close play. Logan does not have the strongest throwing arm in baseball, and he reminds me a little of Phil Rizzuto in that he gets the ball away. So he gets Hank Bauer, and the out goes short to first, Johnny Logan to Frank Torrey. So So Warren Spahn had retired 11 Yankees when Coleman blooped one out into right field. Then he got a double play to get him out of the jam. Goes right back into the pattern. Braves fans are hoping it sticks. Here's Mickey Mantle batting right. The pitch to him. Foul back. Strike one. Milwaukee Braves, 4. The New York Yankees, 1. Warren Spahn, the crafty left-hander, delivers the one-strike pitch. Fastball, sliced off, foul, strike two. And the Milwaukee fans are a little happier now than they were in that first inning when the Yankees went off with one. And as Tom Sturdivant started to look very menacing. Here's the two-strike pitch coming to Mickey Mantle. Takes outside, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Outfield for the Braves has Covington deep in left field. Aaron is over in left center, and Hazel in right center with Shane Dean, second baseman, back in the edge of the outfield grass. Left side of the infield playing deep. 1-2 pitch by Spahn to Mantle. Is just outside with a fastball, tried to hook the corner, missed it. 2-2. Warren Spahn. Ready with a windup, and the 2-2 pitch on the way to Mantle. Checks his swing and takes a curve inside, ball three. Three balls, two strikes. So Spahn goes now to a 3-2 count. He had Mantle with a two strike. Mickey, safe on the fielder's choice in the first, bounced back to Spahn in the third. Here's the payoff pitch to Mantle. Swing! Warren Spahn makes his first strikeout, a big one, as he gets Mickey Mantle. So at the end of 5.5, it is Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 1. Well, the crowd is getting some big thrills today. Hank Aaron's home run, their biggest kick, I guess, yesterday was when Casey Stengel went to the mound. You know, Casey, Fred Haney, every manager has his own way to settle down a pitcher. One of the best, I would say, is Bertie Tebbets of the Cincinnati Redlegs. You know, we asked Bertie what he tells his pitchers out there on the mound, and here's his specially recorded reply.
Well, usually I say something like this. Don't worry about that guy. You're a better pitcher than he is a hitter any day. Give him your best stuff and you'll be all right.
I guess that does it, Bertie. Now, let's switch from baseball to shaving. How do you manage that beard of yours?
With shaving cream and the Gillette razor, of course. That does it for me.
Yes, sir. You get the most in comfortable shaves, in clean, refreshing shaves that make a guy feel great when you use the Gillette Super Speed razor matched to your face. There are three Gillette Super Speed razors, light, regular, and heavy. One has the exact blade edge exposure, edge angle, and weight for you. Choose yours. $1 with Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser travel case and wireless supply lasts. Signals, the secret language of baseball free. Last half of the sixth inning for the Milwaukee Braves, Eddie Matthews, the third baseman, who picked up his first hit in the World Series in the fourth inning. Eddie was 0-for-9 going up there in the fourth inning with Johnny Logan on first. He drilled a double down the right field line. Bobby Shands, the left-hander, now ready to work to him. Delivers a fastball. It's outside, ball one to Matthews. Mickey Mantle was Warren Spahn's first strikeout of today's game and Warren's first strikeout of this, the 1957 World Series. Curveball to Matthews outside for ball two. Tom Sturdivant started on the mound for New York. He lasted four innings. Bobby Shands came on to work the fifth, and he retired the Braves in order. Matthews looking down to Connie Ryan. Delivers high inside. Ball three to Matthews. Outfield for the Yankees playing straight away. Andy Carey about two steps off the edge of the infield grass at third base. Coleman deep at second. And backed up at first is Elston Howard. Here's the windup in the 3-0 pitch to Matthews. Going outside with a curve, ball four. So Matthews draws the walk. On balls given up by Yankee pitchers today. The Braves have not in the World Series played so far been late run getters. In the second game, they're scoring ahead in the fourth inning. Pitch now to Aaron is way outside of the curveball, ball one. In the first game, they did not get a run until the seventh inning. And in the third game yesterday, their last run was in the fifth inning.
So here's Hank Aaron, whose big home run, a three-run belt in the fourth inning, started things going for Milwaukee. Pitch to him is a curve over for a strike, one and one. One ball, one strike. Hank Aaron, number 44. Right-hand batter. Breeze is blowing in from left field towards the plate there in the great Milwaukee County Stadium in a shadow, but the sun is shining brightly in the hearts of the Milwaukee fans. 1-1 pitch to Aaron. He swung on, popped to the left side. Aaron coming over near the, or Carey coming over near the stands. He will not be able to get to it. It's out of play. Aaron was ready to move down there and help push that ball in. He moved down as Carey moved over, but no chance to get it, and it's one ball, two strikes. Braves have four runs on four hits, no errors. The Yankees, one run, three hits, no errors. Johnny Cooks starts to go to work in the bullpen for New York. Chance with a stretch. Checking the run of the 1-2 pitch is strike three call. Fastball just above the knees on the inside corner. Hank Aaron called out on strike. Strikeout number three for Yankee pitching and the second for Bobby Chance. So there's one out, one on, and Wes Covington, who swings from the left side, who has bounced out second to first, who has been safe on a fielder's choice, who has four hits in 13 times at bat. Outfield straight away. Covington bent at the waist, leans right over that plate. Shands checks the runner at first, delivers to him, swings, and he fouls it back. So it's one strike to Covington. Braves 4, the Yankees 1. We're playing in the last half of the sixth inning here in Milwaukee's County Stadium. Jam-packed to the rafters. In close to third is Carey. The runner, Matthews, leads away from first to check the pitch. It's a strike call with a fastball, strike two. So Shands, who doesn't look big enough to throw hard enough, can pump that ball, and he feeds a fastball right down the middle. Two strikes. No ball, two strikes. One up, one on. Shands looking into Yogi Berra. Has the sign. Takes the stretch. Looks to first. Howard holds against the runner. The pitch comes down. A curveball. Swings and he misses. Popped out of Berra's mitt for a moment, but Yogi recovered. And so Bobby continues to weave that magic spell with the curveball and fastball. He's got three strikeouts. And he's working that cunning on the Braves. Here's Frank Torrey, who hit a home run in the fourth inning. He bounced out second to first, his first time up. Torrey takes a look now. His chance comes with a curve. He swings on it and misses. Strike one. Tom Sertivant was the starter for New York. Lasted four innings. Bobby Shands coming on in the fifth. Andy Pafko coming out on deck for Bob Hazel. Well, it may be that Fred Haney, as he looks out and watches Torrey take a two-strike count, may have decided with the left-hander Shands working so effectively that he will substitute Pafko and perhaps get a better defensive outfielder. Curveball is foul back, and it's a two-strike count. Danny Cooks is throwing in the Yankee bullpen. Big, strong, side-arming right-hander. Goes sidearm, three quarters. Two-strike pitch is just outside. One ball, two strikes now to Torrey. A fastball, just missed. So Eddie Matthews, who walked to open this last half of the sixth inning, stands out there as Aaron and Covington go down on strikes. And Torrey waits up there. Stands with the stretch and the pitch. And it's foul back as he again tried to get a curveball. That one fouled off just below it. One lady reaching out. Tried to get it, but missed. So Bobby Shands out there with the new ball. Looks into Berra. Takes his stretch. Matthews leads away. Here's the 1-2 delivery. Swung on. Popped up. Back of the mound. Coming in is Gary Coleman. And moving over is Austin Howard. He grabs it. Chance was going to take it himself. The out goes to the first baseman, Elston Howard. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one man left on. At the end of six innings, the score is Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 1.
A tease now for the Milwaukee Braves. Andy Pasco goes to right field. And he will bat in the spot vacated by Bob Hazel, number seven. All right, Yogi Berra, top of the seventh inning, and the pitch by Spahn to him. A strike, fastball, over the outside corner at the belt. Matthews in close at third. Spahn ready, the windup, pitch on the way. He swings on a curve, this is strike two. Foul that one out of Joe Crandall's mitt. Right side of the infield for Milwaukee. Backed up, Shane Beats on the edge of the outfield grass. Torrey back there with him. Two-strike pitch. Barra looks at a fastball on outside. One ball, two strikes. Umpire Augie Donatelli working the plate today. Leans right over that catcher's shoulder. Crouches down as the 1-2 pitch comes down to Barra. Swings the down ball, hit the right side. Hit by, out in the right field, base hit. So Yogi hits one between the second baseman and the first baseman in the right field. That is Yogi's third hit of the series. And Gil McDougall will be the batter. Yogi has to ask the umpire at first base to call time. Umpire Joe Paparella. Ernie Johnson again is up and throwing in the Milwaukee bullpen. Bill Warren Spahn, who has given up only two hits, one a looping single in the fifth and one a single here since the first inning. Pitching now to Gil McDougall. Gil has one of the hits off of him. Pitch to Gil is fastball, low and inside, ball one. Warren Spahn working with a 4-1 lead. Hits are even. McDougall taking a look down to the third base coach, Frankie Crosetti. Barra leading away. The pitch to McDougall, swung on. And Barra, who's taken a pretty good lead away from first, had to go hustling back. May have been that the Yankees may have been trying to put on the hit and run, figuring that Logan would be covering second if Barra comes down, or with McDougall, right-hand batter up there, and thus find the spot vacated. Pitch to him is a fastball inside. Two balls, one strike. Again, Crosetti takes a look into the dugout to see what Casey Stengel wants. And now he goes through the wigwag. McDougall stands up in the front part of the batter's box, waiting now as Spahn delivers the 2-1 pitch. Swung on, hit out in the right field deep. Going back is Andy Pasco, backing near the fence. He's under it, Crosetti. So Gil McDougall, swinging on that screwball, breaking away from him, hits it out into right field, and Pasco out there grabs it for out number one. Yogi Berra hustles back to first. We're in the seventh inning. Braves leading 4-1, and Nelson Howard is up there now. He's been on the fielder's choice, bounced out short to first. Pitch to him. Swings, drives a hit out into right field, fouls it off. Howard, who has two hits in seven times at bat. Right-hand batter, deep in the box, close stance, has that left foot up close to the plate. Holds the bat right on the end. He has good power. Outfield around the left. The look by Spahn, the pitch is too low. One ball, one strike. Johnson continues to pump in the Milwaukee bullpen. And the breeze continues to blow out of left field. And the sun is obscured by the clouds. The next pitch is swung on, slight foul upstairs. So it is one ball, two strikes now to Elston Howard. Working out there. The pitch is a ground ball hit down to Logan. Good throws to Shady for one. The throw to first, double play. So the second double play turned in by the Milwaukee Braves gets in front of the Yankees in the seventh inning out of the way. No runs, one hit, no errors, and nobody left on the bases. Well, it looked like Frankie Crosetti might have been calling for the hit and run. Of course, sometimes it looks like a flash sign, too. You know, you'll know the basis for every signal in baseball with Gillette's World Series Special Signals, the secret language of baseball. And you get it free when you buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor. Here are 8 reels of action photos featuring Paul Richards, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, in fingertip movies. You just flip these stills off your thumb and you watch Richards demonstrate, like in motion pictures, the flash sign, the combination of the pump, how they call for a bunt, a steal, a curve, or any kind of pitch. And the strategy is explained by one of the nation's top baseball experts. What a break for you fans. You get the secret language of baseball free with the Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy. Choose yours and get fast, clean shaves. Wonderfully comfortable shaves every single time. Gillette guarantees that. Remember, $1 gets you Gillette Super Speed Razor, Blue Blade Dispenser, Travel Case. Signals the secret language of baseball is free. Interesting sideline in the World Series, where there are many interesting sidelines, is that the attendance today is 45,804 paid, and it's exactly the same to the, well, exact first count of the number of fans who turned out yesterday. All right, we're in the last half of the seventh inning. Bobby Shands, who came on in the fifth in relief of Tom Servant, pitching out Andy Papko. And he looks at a curve in the dirt, ball one. Papko came on in the seventh inning to replace Bob Hazel. And he's been in three games as eight at bat, has one break. Bends way over the plate, and the pitch is a curve in the dirt, ball two. Neither team has been able to pick up a great number of hits, but the Milwaukee Braves have made their four hits, three of which were for extra bases, a double and two home runs, count the most. Shands in the windup, and the two-ball pitch to Papko, swung on, bouncer to the third baseman, Andy Carey. He runs to third, throws, and he's out. Papko bouncing out to Andy Carey, and the throw to Elston Howard. And you must say that Howard, doing a good job for the Yankees at first base, for a man who had about 16 games in his major league career to work it out. Del Crandall, the catcher for Milwaukee, who has popped to the second baseman, who has bounced back to the pitcher, 0 for 2. Del now has two hits and 10 times at bat in the series, and he's a right-hand batter with an open stance. And the left-hander delivers. There's a fastball inside, ball one. Milwaukee 4, Yankees 1 in the last half of the seventh inning. The pitch by Shands is over the outside corner for a strike. And a lot of activity now in the Yankee bullpen. As Tommy Byrne gets up and starts to throw for the first time in the series. And a right-hander working alongside of him. 1-1 pitch is a pop-up hit to the right side. Moving back to deep at first is Elston Howard. He has it for out number two. Johnny Cook and Tommy Byrne are throwing for New York in the bullpen. Four game totals now on the center for the first four games of the World Series. 226,286. So Warren Spahn gets the warm reception that any pitcher would receive who has been able to pitch the way Warren has today. He is 0 for 2. Swings on a curve, misses for a strike. Warren has bounced out second to first. He struck out of the fifth inning. Got fielded straight away. Jerry Coleman is deep at second. Andy Carey at third, guarding that foul line as Shands comes down with a strike pitch. A swing and a miss, strike two. So Bobby, who works that curve whenever he feels the need, sprinkles that fastball in there when he feels that he'd like to fool somebody. So the two-strike pitch is the big curve, and it's outside. One ball, two strikes. Warren Spahn, the batter, has a fastball, a slight foul, and the count remains. One ball, two strikes. Braves hanging on to a 4-1 lead. Four runs, four hits, no errors for Milwaukee. One run, four hits, no errors for New York. Bobby Shands looks to Barra. The windup and the 1-2 pitch. Curveball, strike three. Held by Yogi Barra. Now they're checking with the third base umpire, and he says no, it was fouled, and Barra did not make a clean grab of it. He probably played it off his chest protector. So it shows you that umpires also have signs. The umpire working back of the plate sometime has his cue obscured by the fact that the catcher comes up. And by looking down at the third base umpire or the first base umpire who are looking in, they have certain signs, and then he knows, in order to make the right call, exactly what to call it. So it is not a strike three, and it's one ball, two strikes. One ball, two strikes. And Shands ready now, delivers, and there's strike three, so it was delayed one pitch. Warren Spahn called out on strikes, and that is number four for Bobby Shands. And at the end of seven full innings of play, the score Milwaukee 4, New York Yankees 1.
Look sharp. Feel sharp. Be sharp and listen, mister. How will you fix for me?
While we do so, let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Save your money, save your money, save your money, save it, honey, save it for that rainy day. Open an account with any amount at Schenectady Savings Bank today.
Yes, bonus dividend days at Schenectady Savings Bank. Money deposited by October 14th earns 3.25% dividend from October 1st. WGY, WGFN, Schenectady. Rock bottom prices on Goodyear tires as low as $13.35. Get Goodyears from Albert E. Oliver in Albany, your Goodyear dealer.
Jerry Coleman and possibly Bobby Chance. The Yankee manager, Casey Stengel, has Johnny Cooks and Tommy Byrne working in the bullpen. Warren Spahn, ready to work, delivers now to Carey. Shortens up to bunt, takes the strike. Jerry has flied to right field, has bounced out short to first. Spahn has given up only 4 hits. He's ready. The one-strike pitch to Carey. Slight foul going up in the stands. Back of the plate. And it bounces into the mezzanine. So it's a two-strike count. Outfield for Milwaukee is pulled around to the left. They've split in right center. And Shane is backed up at second to plug that hole. The two-strike pitch now by Spahn is inside. Too close. One ball, two strikes. Milwaukee with Covington in left. Aaron in center. Papko in right. As Spahn is ready with a 1-2 delivery. There's a swing and a foul. Yeah, he went jumping at that screwball. He fouled it off the leg of Del Crandall. Logan is deep at short. Shane Deans is deep at second. The windup and the pitch on the way. Swung on, line drive. Gets deep into left center field. It may be in there for a base hit. It is by Hank Aaron going all the way to the fence. There's Carey digging for two. The ball picked up by Covington, thrown into the shortstop. And on second with a double is Andy Carey. So Warren Spahn, who has been able to keep the Yankee bats fairly quiet, finds a loud boom in the eighth inning as Carey lines a double all the way out to the wall in left center field. And off Warren Spahn, it's hit number 5. That's the first extra base hit for the Yankees. And it brings up Jerry Coleman. Eddie Matthews, the third baseman, moves in on the edge of the infield grass. Carey leading away. Outfield pull to the left. The pitch to Coleman. A swing and a miss. Carey was trying to hit the right field on that fastball high and outside. Ernie Johnson again pumps. He's been throwing through most of the afternoon. Started in the first inning. Sat down in the second and third and fourth. Then got back up in the fifth. Carey leads away. Spahn checks the runner and delivers. There's a swing and a ground ball to the left side. Logan looks the runner back. Throws to first. He's out. Nice play by Johnny Logan. The ball could have been hot to him. He picked it up, looked Carey back to second, threw over to Torrey at first for the out. There's one away. Yankee runner at second, and two up now is Bobby Shands. And Casey might go with Shands since he's a pretty good rapper. Or he may go with somebody else. He's got the option because he's got two pitches working the bullpen. And now again, Augie Donatelli walks over to ask Casey Stengel to come up with somebody. Bobby Richardson making the run out to the bullpen for the Yankees. And they're making the wave to the bullpen for somebody to come in and swing. So the action for the moment is slightly subdued as we wait to see just who Casey Stengel will bring from the bullpen. Jerry Lumpy, the third baseman, who played shortstop in the Yankee farm system, who's a left-hand batter. And again, Casey Stengel goes against the book as he brings in a left-hand batter against the left-hand pitcher, Warren Spahn. Lumpy, however, during the final weeks of the American League campaign, proved that he was a rather adequate hitter against left-handers, and in many cases was inserted into a lineup where the Yankees were facing a left-handed pitcher. Lumpy in two games, has two hits in six times at bat. So Orange Bond keeps loose by throwing to his catcher, Del Crandall. Lumpy, just a lad, is from Warsaw, Missouri. Born June the 2nd in 1933. So he's waiting now, and the fans are getting a little impatient at the delay as Dr. Casey Stengel, making his move, has to go to the bullpen to get Lumpy out. And Richardson has gone down there to help, with Alton Howard playing first base and Barrett catching. Only one member of the Yankee catching staff, Johnson, is in the bullpen, and somebody has to go out there to work. Carey is on at second. One out. Warren Spahn now pitching to Lumpy. Matthews in close at third, and the pitch comes down. A curve over the outside corner for a strike. Tommy Byrne has stopped working, and Art Dittmar and Johnny Cooks are throwing side by side in the Yankee bullpen. And just about 12 feet away from him, Ernie Johnson throws for Milwaukee. One strike, one out, one on. Milwaukee leading 4-1. The pitch. Strike two ball with a fastball to the outside corner. The danger that the Braves face in pitching to Lumpy, the left-hand batter, is that he has developed an ability to slice that ball down the left field line. And Matthews, who's moved in fairly close, is trying to protect against that possibility. Two strike pitch. Swing, fouls it back. Charlie Keller, the Yankee coach at first base, moves in. Got something in to Lumpy. Four to one. Braves lead. Milwaukee with four runs on four hits and no errors. The Yankees with one run on five hits and no errors. Milwaukee Braves have had home runs by Aaron and Torrey. Warren Spahn, the veteran, calling on all of his know-how now as he looks back to second, and the two-strike pitch to Lumpy is a curve blown outside. One ball, two strikes. Yankees got a runner on in the seventh inning, but a double play pulled Spahn out of that. He retired the side in order in the sixth. In the fifth inning, after one out, Coleman blooped one, but they got a double play to pull Spahn out of that jam. He's ready now, delivers on the 1-2. It's outside for ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Del Crandall moves out in front of the plate. Spahn nods his head, which is a usual sign by a pitcher who knows what he's trying to do and wants to reassure the catcher that he does. Two balls, two strikes. Carey, the base runner at second, leads away. One out, and the 2-2 pitch is on the way. Swung on, lined in the center field. Hank Aaron coming in at the base hit. Here's the runner at second coming on, and he makes the turn at third and walks at this field. Carey made the turn at third, fell down. Logan, who had perceived to have taken the throw in from Aaron, was looking to the plate and was just, of course, assured that Carey had not made any move. I don't say that he would have been able to get the runner at third base, but certainly Red Chaney's, who is a steady influence on his ball club, making sure that nobody got to the plate. So the Yankees now have runners at first and third. One out as Jerry Lumpy, a left-hand batter, lines a single in the center field. Carey is held at third. Quick fielding on the part of Hank Aaron holds him there. So the threat is ever present now as Tony Kubek, who beat out a bunt in the first inning, bounced out to the first baseman in the third, and bounced out third to first in the sixth, is up there. Left-hand batter takes a fastball over the outside corner, strike one. One out. Two on. Braves trying to protect it. 4-1 lead. Six hits for the Yankees, four for Milwaukee. Spahn ready. Delivers now. There's a swing. A ground ball hit down to Logan. Goes to Shady for one to throw to first. And it's a double play. Long switch by Torrey. Just gets the runner by an eyelash. And again, the Milwaukee Braves with a double play pull it out of the fire. 6-4-3. Logan and Shady to Torrey. So in the eighth inning for the New York Yankees, no runs. They had two hits. There were no errors, and one man left on the bases. At the end of 7.5, it is Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 1. Well, Kel McDougal, moving out to his position, has certainly been a big man for the Yankees, as Johnny Logan has been for the Braves. You know, Gil's a mighty fine after-dinner speaker. He gets more calls than he can handle. So you know he's got to be slicked up for those engagements. You'd think he'd be a Gillette man, and he is. Gil says you can't touch the clean, comfortable shave you get with a Gillette Super Speed Razor. There's one, light, regular, or heavy, that's meant to your face. The light is for men with lighter beards, regular for average skin and beard, heavy for dense, hard-to-shave beard. One has the right blade edge exposure, edge angle, and weight to suit your skin and your beard. Use it for comfortable shaves day after day. They're really wonderful shaves that last. They make you feel better and look younger. Right now, you can get the Gillette Super Speed Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser Travel Case, and Sicko, the secret language of baseball, all for $1. The regular price of the razor alone. Johnny Cooks is getting the wave from the bullpen and starts to move in. And Bobby Jans, who came on to work for the New York Yankees in the fifth, sixth, and seventh innings, worked three innings, gave up no runs, no hits, walked one, and struck out four. And that certainly is the answer to any manager's dream to have that kind of a performance. Johnny Cooks, who came into Major League Baseball with very little minor league experience, and who has been of great importance to the New York Yankees, is a tall right-hander. And he's got a world of stuff. Most of it comes sidearm. John was born in Hoboken, New Jersey. And he also, like so many of these youngsters playing in the World Series today, is still very young. Johnny played 1 year in minor league ball at Norfolk in the Piedmont League. In 1952, then he was in military service. He went to the Yankee training camp in 1955. And I remember watching the Yankee coaches as they looked him over, and he impressed them so much they kept him around. He won 8-7. He worked in the World Series in 55. He did not win a game nor lose any. In 56, he won one while losing none. And he came on in three games for the Yankees, worked a total of 11 innings, gave up only six hits. His earned run average last year in the World Series was 0.82. So the third member of the Yankee pitching staff comes on, Johnny Cooks, sort of a three-quarter throwing right-hander. Red Cheney will switch back over to bat from the left side. Last half of the eighth inning, Milwaukee 4, New York Yankees 1. Pitch by Cooks comes down, and it's outside. Ball one. Johnny Cooks, K-U-C-K-S, outfield straight away. One ball delivery to Shane Dean. Is strike one call, one and one. Johnny now lives in Hillsdale, New Jersey. Takes outside. Two balls, one strike to Red Shingy. Red against Tom Sturdivant had an opportunity to bat from the left side. Then against Bobby Shands, he had one at bat in the fifth inning when he popped the shortstop. Swings and lands one out the left field. It's a big hit. Runs all the way out to the fifth and big goal, and is knocked down by young Kovac, and Shingy holds it second. He takes it up, he's going on, and holds up. So Red Shingy goes to double in the left field. Able to run that ball down and knock it down. And it shows the experience of a veteran like Shady. He did not commit himself to even making a move to third until he saw where the throw was coming. And then made a sort of a bluff like he might go to third. That's Shady's first extra base hit of the World Series. Now has five hits in 17 times at bat. Johnny Logan, he started things off for Milwaukee in the fourth inning with a base on balls. 0 for 2. Cooks ready. Delivers to him. He takes high. Straightened up as if he was going to bunt. And it looked for a moment like the ball might have tipped off his bat. But he pulled it out of there, and it's one ball. Outfield shaded around to the left. In left field is Kubek. In left center is Mickey Mantle. In right field is Hank Bauer. As the young right-hander, Johnny Cooks, delivers. Now there's a bunt along the third baseline foul. One ball, one strike. Braves have picked up their fifth hit. They got four off starter Tom Sturdivant. They have picked off their fifth hit here against Johnny Cooks, and against Bobby Shands, they were not able to get a base hit. Shands faced only 10 men, walked once, and struck out four. Logan, a right-hand batter. Cooks, the right-hander, looks into Yogi Berra. Shane Dean leads away from second. And the throw is to second on a pivot play, and back safely. The way the Yankees work that out, and I presume most pitchers do, they count and then make the throw. Here's the 1-1 delivery, and is a strike as Logan pulled the bat away on a curveball that just cut the corner. One ball, two strikes. The pickoff by the pitcher usually counts 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, then turns and makes the throw. Tommy Byrne is back up and throwing in the Yankee bullpen. Jamie leads away from second. Nobody out. Last of the eighth, the pitch, and he sweeps and he misses for strike three. Trying to reach out to get a piece of that curveball, and he missed it. And so Johnny Logan becomes the strikeout victim. And Johnny Cook holds his first strikeout. That's the sixth member of the Braves who's gone down swinging. Eddie Matthews up there got his first World Series hit in the fourth inning, a double. He walked in the sixth inning. He bounced out short to first in the first. Left-hand batter. Outfield deep in all fields for the Yankees. And Gary Coleman, the second baseman, has moved out into short right field. Pitch steady, a fastball, high and outside. Ball one. They've moved Coleman back out on the outfield grass in right field so that he can range a little farther since Matthews pulled that ball. Elston Howard, the first baseman, backed up along the line. Shane Dean leads away from second. The look by Johnny Cooks. The one ball pitch to Matthews swings and hits a fly ball into left field. Kubek settles under this one, waits for it, and he takes it for out number two. So in the last half of the eighth inning, two outs for the Braves, runner at second. And the batter now is Henry Aaron. Cooks moves over by the foul line to back up the third baseman in case the ball should be dropped. Turns an ear as Casey Stengel popped his head out of the dugout back of third to shout something to Johnny on how he apparently should pitch to Aaron. Or he may have said he want to pitch to him, pitch to Covington, or put him on. At least we're guessing. Here's the pitch now coming to Aaron, and he looks at a curveball that sweeps long outside for ball one. Outfield straight away. Red Cheney, the runner at second with a big lead. Cooks is ready, delivers a curveball that Aaron holds up on and takes ball two. He started to go, held up on his swing. Cooks came in. Take a look to Yogi Berra. Hank Aaron, who slapped a three-run home run in the fourth inning on a changeup thrown by Tom Sturdivant, stands in there, bends at the waist. There's a changeup that's over for a strike. And I would imagine that some of the 45,804 sitting here that paid were thinking back to the fourth inning when Aaron straightened that changeup out. All right, Cook's ready to go. Looks back to second. Delivers on the 2-1 to Aaron. Looks at a sweeping curveball outside. Ball three, strike one. Braves 4, Yankees 1. Last half of the eighth inning. Just with his sign, stretches, looks back to Shaney. 3-1 delivery. A check swing and ball four. So Henry Aaron is on with a base on balls given up by Cooks. And that is base on balls number one. Cooks gave up one. And Sturdivant gave up one. And here comes the little professor, Shaney. Casey with his jacket on, taking his stroll to the mound. Barra's out there talking to Cooks. And with Wes Covington coming up there, KC is just chatting now as Barra and Cooks look over to him. Umpire Jack O'Connor has moved back to the mound at second, and Augie Donatelli is waiting to see whether the Yankee manager is going to make the change or not. Conlon now has moved right into the group. And they're going to make the change. It may be that Casey is bringing in Tommy Byrne. He's coming in from the outfield. Rather a slow, delivered walk, looks like Tom. He's got his left arm in his jacket. So Johnny Cooks came on. To work two-thirds of an inning, in which he has given up one hit, one walk, has struck out one. And gives way now to Tommy Byrne. So Tommy Byrne, the left-hander, who will be making his first appearance in the World Series of 1957.
starts to move closer to the mound. Tommy has had a long and interesting career in baseball, starting back in 1944 and 45 when he was on the Yankee roster, 43 with New York, 44, 45 military service. He's been with the St. Louis Browns. He's been with Chicago, with Washington, with Seattle. And here goes Casey. Byrne in the 1949 World Series worked one game. Worked three and a third innings. Had no one-loss record. In 1955, he worked in two games. Worked 14 and a third innings. Won one and lost one. Little Case took a little bow. Threw them all a kiss. Just before descending into the confines of his dugout. Yankee Skipper has a great sense of humor. 1956, Tommy Byrne worked one-third of an inning in one game in which he gave up one hit, one run, and had one strikeout. So, Tom Byrne, who was born in Baltimore and who has a record in baseball that he'd rather forget, for the most hit batsman, which was four in a game back in 1950, actually found himself in the year he spent out in Seattle. So he no longer throws that blazing fastball, but he has wonderful control. And he's up there now to pitch to Wes Covington, who is looking for his first hit today. Milwaukee Braves with runners at second and first. Red Cheney at second. Hank Aaron on at first. And the batter, Covington, with the Braves leading 4-1. 4-1 for Milwaukee. Byrne, a rather deliberate worker, sort of glances around now to see where everybody is. Set to go. First pitch. Curveball. Strike. Tommy now lives in Wake Forest, and he stands 6'1", 193-pounder. Covington, who perhaps is a little surprised at the big sweep of that curve, steps out. He's back in. Left-hand batter standing deep in the box. Bent way over at the waist. Holds the bat right on the end. Byrne ready. Delivers to him. A curve for strike two. So Tommy Byrne here in the eighth inning with two out and two on. Pitching to Covington, left-hand batter. Two strikes. Next pitch is too low. One ball, two strikes. Fans for Milwaukee are a little quiet. And with the Braves hanging on to a 4-1 lead, having come up with three double plays to snuff out Yankee rallies, there's a fastball missing outside. Two balls, two strikes. So last half of the eighth inning. Two men on, two men out for Milwaukee, and Covington taking the spotlight as he steps out and steps back in. On deck is Frank Torrey. Byrne looking in the Yogi Berra. Stretches and checks the runners. 2-2 pitch. Curve, strike three. Oh, Covington looked at three pretty good curveballs. Byrne pitches one-third of an inning. And in the eighth inning for Milwaukee, they have no runs. They had one hit, no errors, and two men left on. At the end of the eighth inning, the score, Milwaukee 4, New York Yankees 1.
Do you want it? Do you really want a decent shave? Do you really want a decent shave? The shave is
left. With the blade and the razor by the back. We now pause 30 seconds for station identification.
They call me Saratoga, the girl from the business spring. My vision is the best in taste, the mixer with that extra zing. Look for the yellow label, insist on the genuine thing. Cause only Saratoga vision comes from the deep vision spring.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
Hello, this is your Uncle Charles, the WGY Chanticleer, inviting you to be with me each morning over WGY from 6:05 until 7 a.m.
And the Braves fans are not moving. Milwaukee Braves lead 4-1 in this, the fourth game of the World Series. Hank Bauer leading off. Warren Spahn, the left-hander, is ready and delivers now to Bauer. Fastball, outside, ball one. Ernie Johnson, who's been throwing through most of the afternoon in the bullpen, continues to throw out there.
Outfield for Milwaukee, pulled around the left. Here's Spahn with a one-ball pitch. Comes down and swung on, slice foul upstairs. Off to the right, and it's one ball, one strike. Warren Spahn, for whom so many words have been written and said. Pitching now to Hank Bauer. 1-1 delivery is high and outside, ball two. Two balls, one strike. Eddie Matthews playing one step off the grass at third base. Johnny Logan deep at short. Shane Dean's back up at second. And the outfield shaded to the left with Covington deep in left field. Two balls, one strike. Spahn with the windup and the high kick and the delivery is swung on. Fly ball hit the center field and shallow center field. Coming in is Hank Aaron. And he's under it and he takes it for out number one. So Bauer is out number one in the ninth inning. And the batter now is Mickey Mantle. Braves leading 4-1. And should this game end up with the Braves on the top of the score, and with Bauer not getting another chance to bat, it would break his consecutive streak of base hits. Mantle batting from the right side, looks at a fastball outside. Warren Spahn, ball one. Mickey struck out his last time up, bounced back to Spahn in the third, was safe on a fielder's choice in the first. Spahn with that big windup and the pitch on the way. Mantle looks at a fastball over the inside corner, strike one. One ball, one strike, one out, top of the ninth, and the pitch by Spahn is swung on, hit down into right field, curving over in the stands, will be out of play. So it's one ball, two strikes now to Mickey Mantle, as Warren Spahn, two outs away from a victory, continues to show all of the class, all of the heart, and all of the know-how that he has accumulated over these many years. The windup, 1-2 pitch to Mantle. Swings and foul gets it, dropped by the catcher. Ball goes back out. New ball to Spahn. That one scuffed up in gliding off the dirt. As the ball players refer to it as a sandblaster. Here's the 1-2 pitch now by Spahn to Mantle. Takes outside. Ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Outfield for Milwaukee is deep in all fields. Covington back near the edge of the track in left. Aaron in left center. Here's the windup, 2-2 delivery. Mantle swings a bouncer to Johnny Logan. He'll have to hurry and throw. He shoots it across the top. Two out of the top of the ninth inning. And up now is Yogi Berra. And unless you're an expert, you may have missed some of the interesting fine points of today's game. So stay tuned after the last out and hear Bill Corum, noted sports columnist, when he reviews the game and points up today's play. Two out in the top of the ninth inning. Milwaukee Braves 4, the New York Yankees 1. Yogi Berra standing between Warren Spahn and the victory. The windup by the left-hander, the pitch to Berra. Grounder hit out to the right side, a base hit. And so Berra's on. And for the second time in consecutive times at bat, Yogi Berra's hit that ball sharply between the second baseman and the first baseman in the right field. And for the Yankees, they now have a runner at first base, and Gil McDougal is up there. McDougal had a base hit his first time up. He bounced out short to first in the fourth inning, fly to right field in the seventh. Yankees have 7 hits off Warren Spahn. There's a swing and a ground ball down the third baseline. Curving foul fielded by Eddie Matthews. One strike to Gil McDougal. Ernie Johnson, who, if nothing else, has worked almost a full game in the bullpen, continues to toss. Two out, one on. Braves 4, Yankees 1. We're in the top of the ninth inning. Yogi Berra, the base runner. Eddie Matthews playing two steps off the edge of the grass at third. Spahn checks the runner, delivers. There's a line drive hit out over the head of Red Jenkins into right center field. Pasco charging the ball. Pulls Berra at second. And the Yankees now have runners at second and first, two out. And the batter is Elston Howard. That is hit number 8 for New York. And the pressure continues to mount. Fred Haney, the manager of the Milwaukee Braves, popping out of his dugout to have a visit now with his veteran left-hander. Feeling maybe that Haney may want to ask Warren if he's getting a little tired. And Warren is nodding his head to the question, whatever it may be.
Haney has assurance and confidence that Warren Spahn is going to do the job. And he moves back to his dugout as Elston Howard, a right-hand batter, steps up there. So the Yankees have runners at second and first. A 4-1 ball game. They're walking leading in the ninth inning with two out. Spahn ready. Deals to Elston Howard. Too low. A fastball. Ball one. Yankees threatening here in the ninth. Matthews backed up at third. Spahn ready. Delivers, and there's a fastball. It's too low. Ball two. Two or nothing. On deck for New York is Andy Carey. Two balls, no strikes. Warren Spahn running into a snag in his carefully laid plans as he finds himself now with Yankees at second and first. A two-ball count to Elston Howard, who looks down to Crosetti. The two-ball pitch comes down. He swings and he misses. And Crosetti had given Howard the green light with a two-ball count up there, figuring that Spahn would come down with a good one. So it's two balls and one strike. Howard with that very close stance, deep in that right-hand batter's box. The outfield pulled around the left. Barrett with a big leap in second. Spahn with a 2-1 pitch. Gets the fastball inside low. Ball three. So it's three balls and one strike. And now Elston Howard looks down at Crosetti to see whether he's to take one or whether on the 3-1 pitch he's to swing away. Gil McDougal at first base. Barrett at second. Two out in the top of the ninth, and Milwaukee 4, New York 1. The pitch is strike two with a fastball over the inside corner. So the Yankees had given Elston Howard the take time, and he's out there now with a 3-2 count. All of the attention of some 90,000 eyes will be focused now on Warren Spahn as he comes down with a 3-2 pitch. There's a swing and a long drive into the left field. That ball is going for a home run. So this ball game is all tied up. There's Elston Howard on a 3-2 pitch. Hits a home run into the left field seats out there. So it's all tied up. 4-4. That exists among Milwaukee fans as Warren Spahn was within one out of putting the Braves even in the series. Now it's all tied up, and Andy Carey is up there, takes a fastball high and inside, ball one. Four and four, and the pitch comes down. Strike call, one and one. Here's the windup and the 1-1 pitch. Outside and away for ball two. Two balls, one strike. Andy Carey now comes over to have a little visit with Jerry Coleman. Coleman on the on-deck circle. So in the top of the ninth inning, this ball game is all tied up. And the 2-1 pitch now is swung on and drive hit deep in the right center field. Lots of room, however, for Andy Pafko to drift over under it and has it. So in the ninth inning, the Yankees come roaring back and they tie it up with three runs on three hits. There were no errors and nobody left on. At the end of 8.5 innings of play with the Milwaukee Braves coming to bat in the last half of the ninth, the score is New York 4 and Milwaukee 4. Winning. The Milwaukee Braves will send up schedule to send up Torrey, but I believe Joe Adcock, the right-hand batter, is going to come up to hit for him. Almost unbelievable in the ninth inning. The Yankees trailing by three runs after two are out. Barra singling, McDougal singling, and then a home run by Elston Howard, putting the Yankees right back in the ballgame. So Joe Adcock is coming out to bat for the first baseman, Frank Torrey. Adcock has been in three of the games. He's had two hits and 11 times at bat. He has one run batted in, and his batting average is 182. He struck out twice. So Tommy Byrne has a visit just briefly with Andy Carey. Last half of the ninth inning. Cock, right-hand batter, stands deep in the box, powerfully built. Tommy Byrne juggles that ball from his glove to his pitching hand, the outfield deep for the Yankees in all fields. The wind-up by Byrne, pitch to Adcock, a curveball, smashes it, a one-hopper to McDougal. Makes the throw over to Elston Howard, he's out. One away in the last half of the ninth inning. And Andy Pafko is the batter. Had one at bat in the sixth inning, or in the seventh inning, when he bounced out third to first. Right-hand batter, pitched by Byrne to him, a curve in the dirt. Ball one. Yankees have 4 runs, 9 hits, no errors. Milwaukee, 4 runs on 5 hits and no errors. One ball. The count is Tommy Byrne is ready and delivers to Pafko, who looks at a curve over the outside corner for strike. 1-1. Left-hander pops that ball from his glove to his hand in the 1-1 pitch. Pafko swings, hits the bounce to Carey, big hop, fires across, and in time for the out, number two. Two out in the last half of the ninth inning. Mandel Crandall, the catcher's up there. Crandall is looking for his first hit of the day. He has popped to the second baseman. He's bounced one back to the mound. And he's popped up to the first baseman. Byrne winds and delivers. Crandall takes a curveball, strike one. The outfield pulled way around to the left. Next pitch by Byrne, a curve that hangs outside. 1-1. Wind up now, 1-1 pitch. It's swung on. Here's a drive deep in the center field. Mickey Mantle's going back. The wind may hold it up. He's back near the fence and he grabs it right in front of the fence. So Del Crandall made a bid to end it, but grabbed by Mantle. And in the ninth inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on at the end of 9 innings. It's a tied up ball game. Milwaukee 4 and the New York Yankees 4.
Very exciting ball game here this afternoon as the Yankees came from behind in the top half of the ninth inning after Spahny had set down the first two hitters, Hank Bauer and Mickey Mantle. Bauer flying out to center field and Mantle tossed off with the shortstop Johnny Logan. Barra single to right, McDougal single to right, and then Elston Howard on a 3-2 pitch hit one of the left field bleachers that tied this ball game at 4-4. So in the top half of the tenth with the Yankees second baseman, Jerry Coleman leading off. Joe Adcock is in at first base now. He batted for Frank Torrey in the last half of the ninth inning. Joe Adcock at first base. Warren Spahn, who has gone the distance, starts into the rocking motion, and the pitch on the way. Here is a swing and a ground ball to the shortstop, Johnny Logan, over to first base. He is out, and that's one away. Jerry Coleman, who had 1 hit and 3 trips, is tossed out by Johnny Logan. Tommy Byrne is scheduled a hit. So let's see what Casey Stengel is going to do now. It is going to be Tommy Byrne. Last ditch rally by these American League champion New York Yankees. And the big hero so far, first baseman Elston Howard, who hit a 3-2 pitch over the left field fence with two on base. Tommy Byrne, a left-handed batter, up for the first time this afternoon. As these Yankees are battling now to take a 3-1 lead in games played, Braves out to try to even up that series at 2-2. Byrne, left-handed batter, Spahn, the southpaw, kicks up his leg, delivers. Here is a strike of beauty that strikes down the alley. Strike one count. Playing in the top of the 10th inning, score tied 4-4. The Yankees have out-hit the Braves 9-5. Curve, a swing and a miss, and a strike two on Tommy Byrne. Leadoff man, left fielder Tony Kubek on deck. Strike two count. tension mounts here at Milwaukee County Stadium. As we witness the first extra inning ball game of the series, Spahn has a sign from Crandall. The pitch on the way, a swing and a miss, and a bad pitch in the dirt, scooped up by Crandall, who tags the hitter. And that's two away. That strikeout is number two for Warren Spahn. Byrne was fooled completely on a low-breaking curveball. Now here is the leadoff man, Yankee left fielder Tony Kubek, who bunted for a base hit in the first inning. Since that time, he's been tossed out by the first baseman to the pitcher covering in the third, thrown out by Matthews, and grounded into a double play. A ball is high. The Braves infield today has picked off three very important double plays. Ball one and no strikes on Tony Kubek, the left-handed batter. A swing and a foul is up the screen, and the count is even up at ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one count. Two outs, nobody on base, 10th inning. Left-hander against left-hander now. Warren Spahn against Tommy Byrne. A swing and a pop foul on the third base side. Crandall over towards the temporary box seats, cannot make the play, and it's one and two. Additional box seats were added out here for the World Series along the first base and the third base side. A ball one and a strike two count on Tony Kubek with two outs and nobody on base. On deck, it's right fielder Hank Bauer. The Braves outfield playing straight away for Kubek. The left-handed batter standing deep, a slightly closed stance, a swing and ground over the mound. Second baseman charging fast, scoops and cannot make the play. Sandys came up with that ball, but he couldn't make the throw, and there is an infield hit for Tony Kubek. And that is hit number 10 off Warren Spahn. Puts the lead run on first base with two outs. And it brings up the right fielder, Hank Bauer, who today has gone hitless in four times at bat. He has grounded out three times and fly to center field. Right-handed batter. Spahn kicks up the leg, delivers, and the fastball is way outside. That's ball one. Ball one and no strikes. Kubek, a fast runner, leads off first base with two outs. Spahn throws the first, and back goes Tony Kubek. Ball one, no strikeout. Spahn stretches, delivers, and Bauer swings a drive to deep left center field. Going back is Henry Aaron, all the way to the wall for this one. It's off the fence. Here is the lead run scoring now as Aaron bobbles the ball, picks it up, fires into the infield. Only going to third base, and he goes in sliding at third. Hank Bauer booms a triple to deep left center field, and the Yankees, for the second inning in a row, have managed to come up with some very clutch hits with two outs and nobody on base. As they break the 4-4 tie, they take a 5-4 lead. All the action after two outs and nobody on base. Mickey Mantle with a runner at third base and two outs. A swing and a miss by Mantle. That's strike one. Mantle has no hits in four times at bat. Hank Bauer coming up with his first base hit. And he now has hit safely in his last 11 World Series games. A pitch is low and it's even up at 1-1. Bauer hit safely in all seven games last year against the Brooklyn Dodgers in the first four games of this series against the Milwaukee Braves. Hank on third base with two outs, one run across the plate, top of the 10th inning. The pitch on the way, Mantle swings, it's a fly ball to right. Andy Pasco drifting around to his left now, getting under this ball. He makes the catch and then retires the side. In the 10th, one run on two hits. There were no errors and one man was left on base. The score at the end of 9.5 innings, the Yankees 5, Milwaukee 4. Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was some sign stealing in that Yankee uprising in the top half of the 10th inning. Well, that's no crime in baseball. In fact, you get a bigger bang out of every game trying to catch the signs. And now you can get the basis for all signs with Signals, the secret language of baseball. Yours free with purchase of a Gillette razor. Here are 8 separate reels taken from actual movies demonstrating baseball's offensive and defensive signs and signals. Riffle them with your thumb and the fingertip movies of Paul Richards bring to life. First, he demonstrates showing you the pump sign, the combination, the flash. See how they call for the pitch out, the cutoff. To get your copy of The Secret Language of Baseball, just buy the Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy. One is matched to your face for clean shave to stay clean and immaculate
hour after hour. A real buy for a dollar. Gillette Super Speed Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser, Travel Case, and free signals the secret language of baseball. Joe Collins is in at first place now, replacing Elston Howard. Joe Collins, a fine defensive first baseman. Now, Nippy Jones, a utility first baseman, is going to bat for Warren Spahn in the last half of the 10th inning. Milwaukee needs one to tie and two to pull this game out of the fire. Yankees lead 5-4. It'll be Nippy Jones, Red Shandings, and Johnny Logan, the first three men to face the left-hander Tommy Byrne. Jones, a right-handed batter. The outfield is playing around towards left field. Byrne's first pitch, the curve is way inside, and Jones is finally claiming a hit on the foot. Nippy Jones is claiming that he was hit on the foot. Ball and showed it to Augie Donatelli, the home plate umpire. He was hit on the top of the left foot, and the tying run goes to first base with nobody out of the last half of the 10th inning. The batter is Red Shandy. Yogi Berra now arguing with Donatelli. Red Shandy, who has one hit in four times the bat, a double the left center, field of the 8th inning off Johnny Cook. Tommy Byrne is the fourth pitcher used by Casey Single. Tom's been in there since the 8th inning. Now here comes Casey Single, moving out of the dugout, walking out towards the mound. We're in the last half of the 10th inning at County Stadium. The Yankees, who came roaring from behind in the 9th inning with two outs and nobody on base, who scored three runs and tie Milwaukee at 4-4, broke the tie in the top of the 10th, scoring a run and a booming triple by Hank Bauer. They lead 5-4, and Casey Single is going to make a pitching change. Casey Single is going to his bullpen for the fifth time today. And let's see who he'll be bringing in to face Red Shandy. That'll be all for Tommy Byrne. Yogi Berra out of the mound with manager Casey Single and the shortstop Gil McDougal talking with Tommy Byrne. This is going to be right-hander Bob Grimm. Bob Grimm makes his second appearance in the series. He's worked two innings, allowed one hit, two strikeouts, no runs. Bob Grimm makes that long walk-in from the bullpen in right center field. Tommy Byrne worked 1 1/3 innings. The left-hander gave up no runs and no hits. He had one strikeout. Didn't walk anybody, and he hit one batter. Nippy Jones batting for the pitcher Warren Spahn in the last half of the 10th inning. So here is Bob Grimm, a right-hander who stands 6'1", weighs 186 pounds. He hails from Brooklyn, New York, and he is 27 years old. Has reached second base, has a word to say to the second baseman, Jerry Coleman. Now Gil McDougal walks slowly over towards Bob Grimm as he moves in towards manager Casey Stengel, gets the baseball from the left-hander Tommy Byrne, and Grimm becomes pitcher number 5 for the Yankees. Red Shandy will bat left-handed now against this right-hander. Red has fouled out to the third baseman, popped out to the catcher and the shortstop, and he doubled into left-center field in the 8th inning. As a leadoff hitter, Braves fail to get that runner across the plate, and that would have given them a 5-1 lead at the time. Now, Carl Sawatzky has moved in from the Braves bullpen and into the dugout. Felix Mantilla is in running for Nippy Jones. Felix Mantilla, utility shortstop, who did a very fine job this year, playing both short and second base for manager Fred Haney. And a boy who possesses good speed is on first base, running for Jones. Bob Grimm taking his warm-up throws. Comes in with a man-sized assignment here
as Milwaukee has the tying run at first base with nobody out. Last half of the 10th inning, the Yankees leading 5-4. Rhett Sandy, who has proved to be a great clutch ball player for the Braves, just about finished with the warm-up throws, and here is Sandy now stepping in the batter's box. Rhett Sandy, one hit, four times at bat. Billy Massey on first base with nobody out. Bob Grimm blowing on his pitching hand, standing back off the rubber, reaches down for the rosin sack. The third baseman, Andy Carey, is playing on the edge of the infield grass. Into the stretch goes Bob Grimm. Runner off first base. Red's going to bunt. Here's the pitch. He bunts one down the first base line. It is a fair ball picked up by the first baseman. Throws to Coleman coming at first base, and he's out. Sacrifice for Rex Davies, a high chopper. Down to first baseman Joe Collins. We now pause for station identification.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
Milwaukee has the tying run on second base in scoring position. One man is out. Shortstop Johnny Logan with a chance now to bring that runner across the plate. And Johnny has no hits in three trips. He has walked one. Struck out. And has grounded out twice. Casey Stengel has called the time. The manager of the Yankees out talking with umpire Augie Donatelli. Casey Stengel and Donatelli. And Donatelli is calling Mickey Mantle in from center field. A right-handed batter, Johnny Logan, a pull hitter. And the Yankees look like they're going to shift their outfield a little bit as Mantle probably is coming in for sunglasses as left field here at Milwaukee County Stadium is the sunfield. And Tony Kubek, who has played left field today, is now moving over to center field. Mickey Mantle is switching around to left, and he is in the Yankee dugout taking out some sunglasses. Now we're going to get Country Slaughter is moving in the left. Mantle is out of the Yankee lineup. Slaughter running out to left field. 41-year-old veteran outfielder who's spent many years in the National League with the St. Louis Cardinals. So there is the change for New York. Ian Slaughter is in left field. Kubek replaces Mickey Mantle in center field. The tying run is on second base. One man is out of the last half of the 10th inning. The Yankees lead the Braves 5-4 in this fourth game of the series. Into the stretch goes Bob Grimm. Looks back over the right shoulder, checks the runner, delivers, and the pitch is high outside. A slider, and it's ball one and no strikes. Ball one, no strikes on shortstop Johnny Logan. On deck is third baseman Eddie Matthews. Grimm is ready. Delivers, and a curve is low. That's ball two. Two and nothing. Ball two, no strikes. Shortstop Johnny Logan. With Felix Mantilla on second base and one out. Extra innings. Yankees lead 5-4 in the 10th inning. Bob Grimm checks with Yogi Berra. Up on the rubber, goes into the stretch, arms down. The 2-0 pitch. A swing and a line drive to left field on that line. This is out there. Here comes the tying run scoring as the ball gets away from Slaughter. Counting second base is Johnny Logan. He's at 5 for third. Now he is going back into second base. One minute.
ball, one and no strikes are down on the right third baseman. Logan on second base, one out, the last out of the tenth. Score is tied at 5-5. And that base hit was number six for the Wahees, number one off rim. Second baseman Coleman playing in short right field now for Matthews. Back out of an outfield grab by Tenby. The 1-0 pitch, a swing and a long foul on the right field line. And it's even up at 1-1. All one of these strike ones down on the way to third base. Strong left-handed batter with a chance to be a big hero here in Milwaukee today. As the winning run is pitched on second base, only one man is out. The Braves have come up and tied the New York Yankees at 5-5. Trim's ready. Hogan leads off second. The pitch to Matthews. They swing a high foul on the third base side. Going over as the third baseman carry is going to be out of play. Just behind the Yankee dugout. Another Yankee right-hander, Art Dittmar, is loosening up on the bullpen. And Ernie Johnson is going for Milwaukee. Now the third baseman, Terry, who was over after that foul ball, comes in to talk to Bob Grimm. Milwaukee has the winning run on second base with one out of the last half of the 10th inning. The score is tied at 5-5 as Matthews moves out of the batter's box. Now he sets his feet in there. Pulls down the middle of his cap. Grimm getting his sign from Yogi Berra. Up on the rubber. Ball one is strike two on Matthews. The 1-2 pitch. Too low. Just missing it. It's ball two. Very sharp pitch by Bob Grimm as he tried to catch it. Outside corner with a fastball. Knee high. Just missed. And he's even up now on the Braves third baseman. Ball two and a strike two count. Time. He's in a tough spot. Here's the 2-2 pitch. They swing and he drives back to the right field. Going back towards that wall. It may be. It is a home run for Eddie
kind of hairspray. Adorn, the first self-styling spray. Adorn is different. You spray Adorn before you comb, not after. Then you style as you comb. Fashion a smart, finished hairstyle yourself. And the hairstyle you comb in, Adorn keeps in. If your hair gets mussed up, you can freshen up without respraying. A damp comb renews Adorn's self-styling action. Proof that Adorn holds twice as long as ordinary sprays. And Adorn works invisibly. Can't flake, can't dull. Try Adorn, the first self-styling hairspray. You'll adore Adorn. Adorn Hairspray by Tony.
There was a finish for a ball game. Any ball game, but particularly in a World Series here in Milwaukee after yesterday's horror and now this tremendous finish and ball game that's sending 45,000 plus people out of here dancing with joy and screaming at the thrills that they had here. The heartbreak first and then the great bounce back, which was hope deferred on Eddie Matthews' home run. And incidentally, this is not only Milwaukee's first series, but all the Milwaukee boys in it, the Wisconsin products, are turning out to be heroes. Yesterday it was Kubek, who lives here in Milwaukee. Today, Johnny Logan, who makes his winter home here, drove in the tying run and gave the fans hope after they had despaired. And finally, Eddie Matthews, a Wisconsin boy, drove the ball into the right field seats for the fourth home run of the game and won it 7-5. And so now they're all tied up. The series has to go back to New York. And I'd like to say that it would be one of the great games of baseball if Warren Spahn, after the tremendous game he pitched here today, the great heart, the courage, the skill and all, had lost it with that heart-breaking home run that Ellie Howard hit into the left field seats to tie it up after two were out and nobody on in the ninth inning. And bango, it looked as if Spahn's game was gone, but Haney stayed with him courageously, and Spahn stuck in there, the kind of pitcher he is. Only pitcher ever to win 20 games in the National League, by the way, in 8 seasons. A 36-year-old veteran with everything, and he spun a truly wonderful game here this afternoon. Although the Yankees got more hits, those don't count. Those are just missed points after, those are downs, I will say, in a football game. The score is what counts, and the Braves pulled it out 7-5 and shows that, well, the Yankees are the Yankees and are never beaten until the last man. The Braves can play at that game, too, and they did this afternoon in one of the finest World Series games I've seen in 36 years of watching World Series, scarcely ever missing an inning or even a play. I thought yesterday's was the worst World Series ball game I ever saw, and this one of the finest. There was a very good laugh in it, too, a little chuckle in the tenth. This Casey Stengel, who didn't get off a train at Sturtevant, Wisconsin. Sturtevant was the starting pitcher for the Yankees, and he is 1-0 in World Series play because Bob Grimm got credit for the defeat here. But the folks in Sturtevant, Wisconsin are 0-0 because Stengel wouldn't get off the train to greet the cow or something coming in here, and they've been riding him ever since, and the boos when he goes to the mound are tremendous. So when he came back to the bench in the eighth inning this afternoon, he stopped and blew a kiss to the fans, and I thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in the ballpark. And, of course, a wonderful old guy, Casey, who used to manage the Brewers here and likes this town as we all do. And that gives me a chance to say that I think Milwaukee has done the greatest thing in baseball in 20 years. These enthusiastic, happy fans here now who have piled up attendance records. And this beautiful stadium, I don't think anything that's happened in baseball in years is better. It's a wonderful old town. It's a wonderful ballpark. And the Braves are a wonderful team no matter who wins. And we all know, of course, the perennial champion Yankees are always the same, always great, always championship, and proved it again here in defeat. A tremendous, wonderful, beautiful ball game on a beautiful, sunshiny afternoon. Now, this broadcast is authorized under broadcasting right granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the description and account of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Broadcast time tomorrow for the fifth game in the Great Series is 2:45 Eastern Daylight Time. Plan to be with us and enjoy the fun again. Our thanks to our NBC engineer, George Wilson. This broadcast was produced by NBC sports editor, Paul Jonas. This is Bill Corum saying smooth sailing, smooth shaving, and good afternoon for your host, the Gillette Safety Razor Company.